Never played with a player like that on this team.
Hello, Bulls fans. Welcome to another episode of the Chicago Bulls. I am your host, Mark Lewenthal. With me, as always, is the doctor, Fred Pfeiffer. Fred, how are you?
Mark, I'm living the dream. I still have hope that the Bulls can pull this out. Definitely a lot more doubts than before when they blew a perfect opportunity to win a key game, go up 3-1 and pretty much guarantee if you're up 3-1, you're pretty much guaranteed to go to the next round. Instead, they blew an opportunity where LeBron James and Kyrie Irving shot combined 12 for 40, 30%, and you blew that opportunity. That's never going to happen again. I can guarantee you this much, LeBron James and Kyrie Irving, for the rest of the series, are going to shoot much better than that. So, golden chance by the wayside. Frustrating, extremely frustrating for me. I'm sure frustrating for you.
Yeah, I'm very frustrated.
What are you going to do, Fred?
I'm frustrated, though, for many reasons, and we're going to start off with one of those reasons, Freddie. I made a miscalculation on the last show, which nobody can find up there anymore because we pulled it today after getting numerous complaints. But this show is going to be a special three-parter show because the last one was a special two-parter show, and I mucked it up. So we're going to combine the last two shows together with this show, and we will be cutting out the part of the show that I mucked up. And for those of you that downloaded the show, there was a little opening, and I had a little message for some of the Derrick Rose haters out there. I didn't know that people would take offense to me insinuating that they drive their car into a wall and die. I find it to be a humorous topic. I'm sorry. I am sorry. I wasn't speaking to really our listeners, more or less. I mean, it didn't come out in the statement. And when I heard it again, ironically enough, Fred, I know you listened to it. I taped it about three times to get it just right. And then when I heard it again the next day, I was like, man, that wasn't right at all. My point with the statement was you've had a lot of people hating on Rose the last 3 years, no matter what he did. You've seen up until really the last game, for example, Stephen Curry has been shooting pretty bad. Nobody ever said anything until really like the last game. People started getting on him. Rose this year, people were getting on him the whole season. And I understand where people were getting on him for making some bad choices earlier in the year, like the amount of threes he was taking, not being aggressive enough, things like that about his game. But it was the people that I was directing my anger at were the ones that never even really wanted to come back in the first place. The people, when you listen to sports radio, you have people that are just like crapping on him every single day. And it's like, no matter what he does, the guy can't do no wrong. And especially after he's had a little bit of success. And even after the last game was probably his best game in the playoffs. I don't care about that shot. I mean, the shot obviously was incredible. It's going to go down in Bulls folklore, but he played great last game. And the way that he handled himself on that podium afterwards, man, was beautiful. Like when you saw LeBron and Kyrie the game before, they looked like they were about to cry. They looked like somebody in their family just died.
All right,
D Rose is sitting there on the podium yesterday saying, pretty much, this game's over. It's on to the next one. What are you going to do? And I mean, the guy had the right choice. The fact of the matter is, D Rose is back. I'm happy about that. I'm upset that so many people were crapping on him during the year. And I thought that I'd make a little tongue in cheek joke about it.
Childish.
It didn't come across as it. It wasn't childish.
D. Rose's child showed more maturity than you did, Mark. It was childish. It was immature. I'm glad you realized you were a moron with that statement. Hey, we don't want anybody to cancel the show. People are going to disagree with us. That was the worst part. Unsubscribe. Come on. There's a lot of legitimate Bulls fans who, for whatever reason, didn't agree with the way D. Rose is playing. I think the funny thing about it is, for the course of this year, you've been far more critical of Rose than I have been. I mean, I don't know how many times you've been complaining about him shooting three-pointers. So I just couldn't believe it when I heard it. I'm like, oh, my God, because I was getting tweet after tweet about it. And, you know, what are you going to do? You made a mistake. You apologize for it. Let's go on.
Hey, we're all human. We all make mistakes. I hope you as fans can forgive me. I am a little bit less human. Know that it's probably not going to be the last time that I make a mistake. But if you do have a copy of that episode, though, let's get it up on YouTube or something, because this is going to go down as, like, one of those lost episodes, you know? Like, there's a lot of shows
horrible,
that have, like a lost episode.
Song, More Human Than Human? Who sang that song? Oh,
Rob Zombie?
Rob Zombie
or White Zombie. It was one of the two. I don't know which one it was. It was
what
either
a
White Zombie
song
or Rob
was.
Zombie.
Well, you're more human than human, Human League.
I am more human than a human. I appreciate that, Fred. Thank you very much. I am more human than a human.
We had a teacher email me. I forgot to forward it to you. I'll forward it to you later. Let me just apologize to the seventh grade teacher who told all the students about our great podcast and then emailed me saying, hey, dude, thanks a lot for basically he said he was going to report us to iTunes for your dumb intro. So thanks a lot, Mark. You probably ruined a lot of nights for a lot of seventh graders as they were listening to our podcast. Who maybe
say something to the seventh grade class. You know what? Pretty much what that was a lesson in is just don't act like me. If you don't act like me,
stay in school.
You do whatever I do, do the exact opposite. Then you're on the path to success. Life is
there. You
be
go.
Good.
Stay in school. Keep on studying. You know, don't do drugs. All that good stuff. All right, man. Let's
talk about this game. So, Fred, oh boy. So, what made this game so tough for me, obviously, was our poor shooting. We went on two droughts of 15 point plus. Shooting droughts where we didn't score at all. I think one was 18 points, and I think one was about 15, right?
It was 15-0 in the second quarter. I don't know what the drought was in the fourth quarter. I just know, I think for only the second time in the playoffs, I think we've had three quarters in the playoffs where we scored below 20. We had one against Milwaukee where we scored 18, I believe. It might have been, I don't recall. But I know we had two in one game, which was this last game. Quarter two and quarter four were just an offensive meltdown of the – I couldn't even believe what I was watching. It was just absolutely disgusting. And, you know, I kind of expected somewhat of a regression without Gasol. I didn't expect what I saw in those two quarters. And it was just disgusting. I mean, there's no other way, you know, to debate it. I'm just still flabbergasted at some of the comments I read on Twitter. You know, so, first quarter, I'm getting all these tweets. What I tell you, the whole thing was Noah needed to play center. Hey, I got a newsflash for everybody. Noah's been playing center all year. Tibbs, he's been doing this all season. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the work of Tibbs, but he starts every second quarter with Noah and Taj Gibson. He's been doing this like his whole career where he doesn't do any changes to the lineup for the most part. He starts every fourth quarter with Noah and Taj Gibson. And during those moments, I got news for you. Guess who was playing center? That's right, Joakim Noah. And he's been sucking at it for the vast majority of the year. Hey, I love Noah. That's another thing, too. People think I'm a Noah hate. A couple of people were emailing me and saying I hate on Noah. I love the kid. I think the kid's a phenomenal kid. He's got intangibles up the wazoo. He's got a lot of fire. And I didn't think he had a terrible game. You know, I thought he was okay. 4-12 with all your shots. Right. All 12 shots within 6 feet isn't good, but, you know, he was active.
Yeah, but it's some of those misses, man. My God.
Oh, my gosh.
On.
I know. His layups
were going above the backboard. His layups weren't even, like, towards the hoop. They were
Let me finish.
This isn't a threat.
Yeah.
Go on, sorry.
Let me just finish this point. Sorry. So, you know, again, everybody's harping on this point on Twitter. I told you that was the problem. It was Noah. You know, Noah should have been starting and Gasol should have come off the bench. And then, you know, probably within seconds of that tweet, you know, coming out, also some other guy mentioned that, oh, trust me, the team's better without Gasol. And it's like, and the thing that really bothers me, these aren't dumb fans. These are some, you know, intelligent fans who were stating this stuff. I mean, it's just disgusting. Really? You're that stupid. How could you be this stupid on this topic to realize that the Bulls are not better without Gasol?
Could we really quickly, before you go on this rant, could we discuss, to lead up to this rant, what happened on Bleacher Report today?
Yeah, why don't you discuss it? Because I'm not exactly sure. I didn't get a chance to read it, but somebody put one of my tweets that I was arguing back and forth with somebody on.
if you subscribe to the Bleacher Report app, or I don't know if there's a website or not. I just do the app, so I don't know what else there is. But if you do, and you get specific updates just for the Bulls, if you go in there, there was an article today about Pau Gasol potentially missing Game 5. So if you click on that article, big long article, there's a piece in the article where it references that not everybody thinks that it's such a bad thing. And then they reference, and I don't know his name, and you'll go off on it in a second, but somebody they reference is somebody that you, Fred, have been going back and forth with on Twitter. So they show his tweet on the Bleacher Report, and your tweet to him is attached to it. So if you go and read this article, you see Fred's tweet calling him out for the fact that look at how much worse the team is without Gasol, and this guy saying the team is superior with a lineup specifically pointing out Nico Mirotić and Taj Gibson, right?
Yeah, so I think you're referring to Nate Duncan, who's I enjoy a lot of his work. On this topic, I disagree with him 100%. I think he's way off, and he had a tweet today referring to an article on Bloggable, and his tweet was, I think the Bulls are favorites in this series if the health situation stays the same for both teams. In other words, that, you know, if Gasol doesn't come back, hey, we're the favorites, which I completely disagree with. And then I replied to him, not finishing at the rim is a direct So in this article, it was talking about how poor the Bulls were at finishing at the rim. I think they shot 36%, some really poor number, you know, as if all they're doing is missing wide open layups, you know. And my whole point or counter to it is the reason they were missing at the rim is because there's a guy named Timothy Mozgov, who's a halfway decent rim defender, who played 38 minutes yesterday, and for the vast majority of those 38 minutes, just stood right next to the rim. He didn't leave the paint once. If you watch the tape, he just stood there and contested shots. In game one, Mozgov had one block. Game two, one block. When Gasol went out in game three, since that time, he's had six blocks. The reason why, he's able to stand right by the rim. He doesn't have to come out to contest Gasol. He doesn't have to come out and get away from that basket in a few feet, make all the difference. When he's on Noah, he can just stand next to the rim. And he had a huge game yesterday. And for him to just say, you know, my whole point is here, and we're going back and forth, I'll read you some of the tweets. I stated, not finishing at the rim is a direct result of Mozgov's rim protection. It won't change without Gasol pulling him out. This idea, and then he replies, this idea that Gasol is some unbelievable floor spacer or that the Bulls use him that way a ton is not correct. And I'm just like, Nate, you're way off. The Bulls use Gasol as a stretch five far more than they use him in the post. So for him to say they don't use him as a floor spacer is absolutely incorrect. You count the number of possessions where Gasol plays out on the perimeter and the number of possessions where he plays in the post, it's probably about 4-1 that he's out on the perimeter. I don't know. I know Nate covers the NBA, so he's probably watching a lot more games outside of Chicago. He's not watching as much as I am. I'm telling you, that's what happens. And to say Gasol's not a floor, like, I heard this other argument, too. Like, I think Doug Tonis in his Bulls Confidential article said, you know, trying to make an argument that Gasol hadn't played well in the series. Game one, he goes, oh, he just hit a bunch of open shots. And I'm just like, really? How many centers in the league you think can hit a bunch of open 17-footers? You can probably count on one hand. You think Dwight Howard can? You think Jaquim Noah can?
Well, but also, defenses don't go out there. Defenses don't go out to defend centers 18 feet out away from the basket.
Tell me the centers in the league that you feel confident hit wide open 18-footers.
Well, Gasol's a power forward.
No,
so can I tell you the power forward?
Well, he's playing center. Pau Gasol is playing center for the Bulls in the series. And I'm telling you, tell me the centers. I'd like to know.
But no, he's not. Joakim's playing center.
No. Gasol plays center and Joakim plays power forward when they start together. Are you kidding me? This is the playoffs and this is the first you're realizing this? What's wrong with you, Mark? Have you been watching the games all year?
That's not the case. Look at the box scores. They say on it, Joakim's playing center.
No. Gasol was a starting center in the Eastern Conference All-Star game, Mark. Gasol, that's part of the argument.
Maybe in the Eastern Conference All-Star game because they don't have a center-specific position. For
the
Chicago Bulls, if you watch,
please email Mark.
The man in the middle, Joakim Noah.
This is the argument all year. Yeah, last game we played center, the man in the middle. But the argument has been, a lot of people have been blaming Gasol for Noah's deficiencies this year because he moved from center to power forward. He's no longer being that guy guarding the rim. Now it's Noah playing on the perimeter. I kind of feel that whole thing is like overblown. Like, he's really a center. He's really a power forward. I think all that stuff is really kind of nonsense. I really do. I think it, all that matters, I mean, I do understand that Noah's got a different role than he had last year, but Noah's strength in the past has always been his ability to guard multiple positions. It's not like he was some kind of elite rim protector, and I think Gasol is a good rim protector. I think they're about equal. I'm not saying that Noah's bad at that. But
listed as the starting power forward in game
five. Please don't tell me. You understand that Gasol's played center this year and Noah's played power forward. Anybody, please email me if ChicagoBullseye@gmail.com. So I guess word your email, about hundreds of emails to Mark, so he understands that he's the only guy in the audience who realizes that Gasol's played center all year and Noah's played power forward. But I digress. We're going back and forth. And I explained that he's used primarily as a stretch five. And then Nate's arguing, well, he's not. And then Nate responds to one of my things. How was the defense last game? Okay. The defense was, and I heard this again, an argument from Doug in Bulls Confidential. Our rebound was much, much better. No, it wasn't. We got beat in the rebounding. We lost 44-40 in that game. We won game one's rebounding match, and we won game three decisively. Game two was like a three or four differential. I don't remember exactly. But we lost the rebounding battle. It wasn't that much better. And the reason that Cleveland didn't score as well because they missed a ton of threes.
We had 10 less rebounds than we did the game before.
The game before, but not the first two games. Game three was an aberration, Mark. I think we had 40 rebounds. We had 42 in game one, I think. And this is all
off the top of my head. We had 56 in game three.
Yes, that's the aberration.
We had 37, yes. Is this the second game right here? Game two,
one,
they had 37.
Game, who did?
So they had three more yesterday than they did in game two.
The Bulls had more rebounds in game one. So we were rebounding suddenly?
No. They had more. Well, I haven't gotten to game one yet. Game one, they had 42. So, yeah, they did have more in game one. Two more. Did 40 yesterday.
Yeah. So what are you talking about? Yeah, I mean, all this stuff is, like, completely made up. The defense, was it better? Yeah, I'd say it probably was a little bit better. I'd also say the Cavs probably had a lot to do with it by missing so many three-pointers. And I also say probably a hobbled Irving had a lot to do with it.
The defense
was better. I think a hobbled, LeBron James had probably something to do with it. I mean, come on. Irving was 2-10. He looked horrible. That didn't have anything to do with it. You're going to say it was all great defense? Had his best game of the series yesterday. He had 15 points. He had 9 rebounds. He had his highest production by far. And so I don't even want to – the argument is it's just a waste to me. To keep on going on and acting like we're a better team without him, it's the height of insanity. And he keeps on going back to, well, it's Nico this, Nico that. Guys, I hate to tell everybody this. Nico's shooting like 25% in the playoffs. He's been terrible. Every game in the playoffs, he's had one decent game when he was 3-8, and he got to a free throw line in that game. Overall, in these playoffs, he's been awful. And I'm not saying it's his fault. It's not his fault. He's just not playing well. He's not shooting well. He was 1-for-9 yesterday. He was terrible. You got to call it like it is. And a lot of those shots were wide open. He shot a wide open air ball. I mean,
yeah, that three.
It's not fair to
him. Dunleavy made the extra pass, too. He was wide open.
It's not fair to Nico to put that pressure on him. I said this before. I think he's our only hope now. I feel that way, honestly, that Nico's got to play and he's got to get hot from three for us to have a chance against Cleveland. So I understand him playing. I want him playing more. But to act like the Bulls are better with him playing, it's asinine. He hasn't had one great game in the playoffs. He's been terrible. Look at the numbers.
I don't understand where people could be coming from here. Look,
do you have his stats in front of you, Mark?
Teammates, Mark? Yeah, I do, from last game.
Read. I want you to read. He's played 9 playoff games. He missed one. Give me Nico's shooting numbers in those playoff games.
You want everyone?
Every game. Run through all 9.
Give me a quick second here, because I got to get his complete game log. Hang on. Here we go. I got it. Okay. So, in the Bucks series, can I just give you averages? In the Bucks series, he shot
30%. Just tell me what he shot.
He shot 30% in the series. Each 40%, 33%. He didn't play at all in game.
Give the numbers. What was he? 3-9, 2-4. What did he shoot?
2-5, 3-9, 2-7, 1-6, and 1-3. That's against Milwaukee. Against Cleveland, 2-4, 3-8, 1-9. So he did shoot 500 in game two.
All right. How about from three? What's he been shooting like?
Still,
from
he only
three?
Played. He only played 7 minutes. 25% in both series.
25%. So this is the guy that makes. I'm done. Gasol's got.
He's averaging three rebounds, but he's only playing like 15 minutes.
All right. PER-wise, I know everybody likes to make fun of that stat. That's one of the few stats I still do find legitimate. Okay, PER-wise, the team PER, Butler's leading the team for the playoffs at 20.9. Gasol's right behind him at 20.8. Out of the guys that are playing a lot, and you got Nizir and Doug McDermott right behind him, but, I mean, you know, those guys hardly play, so they don't really qualify. Then you got Derrick Rose at 17.4, Taj at 15.6, Dunleavy at 13.2, Heinrich at 12.7, Noah at 12. Mirotic at 8.1, which is just awful, and Brooks at 6.3, which is, you know, you should be playing in a rec league. So those are the Bulls playoff numbers, PER numbers. I mean, that to me just says it all, you know. So, hey, let's not dwell on the past. I mean, well, first of all, would you have any comments about yesterday's game?
Yeah. Look, Kyrie went to his team before the game yesterday and asked them if they thought that he should play. I don't think if anybody wants to say that Derrick Rose shut down Kyrie Irving, Kyrie Irving took like 30 shot attempts in game one. He hasn't taken more than like 10 since. He had 13 shot attempts in game three. Game four, I think he had 10. So he has tendonitis in his knees, man. I mean, that's bad, first of all. That's something that might not – that could be something that could, you know, inflict him throughout his career. But in terms of him becoming who he was – in game one, I don't think we're ever going to see Kyrie Irving be that player again in this series. Now, that being said, because of that, with or without Pau Gasol, I do think we have a chance. Because if they don't have Kyrie Irving, now we have to make some adjustments, obviously. But let's just be honest, man. We are not going to shoot worse than we did yesterday. I mean, come on. I mean, whenever we smell blood, we like to bathe in it. And I think yesterday we smelled blood. We thought that we could win that game. We had a lead in the third quarter, and that's like the worst thing that we can do. We're better off in games like game three, where we're barely trying to get that lead. When we think that we've got a little bit of comfort, we think we have a little bit of comfort, we let it go. And that's what we did. That's this team. That's what they've done all year. But generally, with their backs against the wall, they have played well. And the fact that Derek is playing as well as he is playing right now, I'm still going to say that we've got the talent to beat them in this series, but you are going to have to shoot better. Mike Dunleavy, 1-for-7 yesterday. Taj Gibson, 2-for-7. Nico, 1-for-9. That's not going to get it done. Tony Snell, 3-for-7. And what happened? Why is Tony Snell playing all of a sudden?
Well, you make that same point. They're going to shoot better next game. Hey, you got to believe that Irving and LeBron are going to shoot better. I don't understand.
Not Irving. Irving has knee tendonitis, man. You can see in his statistics. They've dropped tremendously after game one, man. He is in trouble. Kyrie Irving is in trouble.
Yeah, he's going to shoot better than 2-for-10.
LeBron shot
work.
Like crap all series two. LeBron has not been good all series two, but Kyrie Irving was 10-for-23 in the first game. He was 5-for-9 in the second, 3-for-13, and then 2-for-10 in the game after that. This season, he's averaging over 16 field goal attempts a game, man. He didn't even attempt. He attempted 13 in game three. That's the most he's attempted since game one. 9 and 10, that tells you how he's doing. So fine, say if Kyrie Irving is only taking 10 shot attempts a game, even if he's going 6-for-10, 7-for-10, that's still going to make it a lot easier to beat him. The fact that you don't have to worry about this guy going off, and even in the first game, I mean, he was still, 10-for-23 is not absolutely terrible, but you don't have to worry about this guy taking a gajillion shot attempts. And he's getting slower. I mean, his knees are getting worse. He would not have asked his teammates if he should play in the last game or not if his knees were not getting worse. Now they know what it is.
I agree.
But at the same time, he's not going to feel good this series. He won't be there.
Listen, I'm not denying that, you know, that he's got major issues, but LeBron is the best player on the planet. And I hate to say this, but he's aware that he's not playing efficiently. I heard him say it in the post game. I think he's going to come out on a mission. I mean, the Bulls have to bring the energy. They have to play as hard as they possibly can this next game. They're going to get blown out. I just think this is a horrible situation that they're going into. To me, the whole key is, you know, Rose has been playing stellar. I thought he had a stellar game last time. He didn't play, you know, he missed a couple shots down the stretch in the fourth quarter. But overall, he was incredible in that game.
Yeah.
And you know, sure. Jimmy Butler's killing himself to stop LeBron. He's playing a ridiculous amount of minutes. He's not getting a ton of rest. So I don't think you can expect Jimmy to bring like an A-plus effort every time on the offensive end. He's still doing good things out there. That step back three was incredible. You know, but overall, you got to have somebody else step up. You got to have somebody else. You had those two guys in double figures. There was nobody else in double figures in that game yesterday. And the guy I think that has the ability to do it is Nico. I know I said that he hasn't shown it well, but he could come out. He can get hot. And he starts hitting threes. That's the game changer right there. You're not going to see it from no.
So can Mike. So can Mike. Mike's done it many times. Dunleavy's done it many times. In the playoffs,
that's
he's
true.
Done it many times.
That's true. Well, maybe then it's got to be him or it's got to be Taj. It's got to be one of those guys. But, you know, Taj did not have a good game. He was 2-7 shooting. Dunleavy had a horrible game. Aaron Brooks had a horrible game. I mean, you go up and down the lineup. I mean, Heinrich, believe it or not, has been one of our better players, I think, in this series.
I agree with you. That's why I didn't really understand why Snell was playing so many minutes yesterday, because Heinrich has been pretty good this series. Brooks really hasn't, but I think that Snell
Brooks has been awful.
The
Brooks. Brooks is down to 33% for the playoffs, and he did not play that bad. I don't have it in front of me what he's shooting for this series, but it's got to be just awful. He's got to be shooting like 25% off the top of my head.
He's shooting 23%, yes. He shot 40% against the Bucks. He's shooting 23% for this series.
So, yeah,
11% from three.
I mean, for a guy who was a key part of our second unit to bring that scoring punch, for him just to fall off the table, I'm frankly freaking disappointed. Because if we had any kind of effort from him, we'd be up 3-1. You know, game two.
Yeah, well, a lot of things, man. I mean, a lot of things could have put us up 3-1. Cleveland punched us in the face yesterday. I mean, I really don't think that Cleveland could have done much better. And you're going to see it again. If we don't win this series, you are never going to have a better.
Are you talking about yesterday?
Cleveland yesterday was still. I mean, look, how much better
terrible.
Can they really?
They were
didn't
awful.
Shoot the ball overall extremely well. But the fact of the matter is that how much? What I'm saying for did they play great? No, they shot 38%. But Kyrie Irving's not going to play much better than is not going to play much better than he's playing right now. Shumpert yesterday finally played like Iman Shumpert plays. He did not
he
have
one
of the great games that he said. But look, Tristan Thompson played really well yesterday. Mozgov played really well yesterday, and J.R. Smith played extremely well yesterday. 5 for 10.
Jones was 0-2. Dellavedova was killing us. Was 1-3. I totally disagree with you that team played well yesterday. I thought that was a terrible, terrible game. That's a game the Bulls absolutely freaking had to win. And it just Wiggins was out. Gasol.
We were lucky to be in it though. At the end of the game, let's just be honest. I mean, how lucky were we that we even had the opportunity to tie it? I mean, we were so lucky to get that opportunity. And Cleveland literally. My God, the collection of things that happened at the end of the game. If David Blatt has a job at the end of this season, the fact that, A, he called the final second play not for – he had LeBron James throwing in the ball. First, if you're going to use LeBron as a decoy, fine. I mean, maybe I get it. Not really, but maybe I do it. But LeBron's not even a decoy if you have him passing in the ball. With 1.5 seconds left, you have LeBron James passing in the ball for the final second shot to somebody else. It's ridiculous. The fact that LeBron told him what to do, and he did it. And then in the post-game press conference, David Blatt did not give him credit for that. And there is something that Brian Windhorst has said that he has done all year, that LeBron has continuously made plays on his own and called off the coach's plays, and then Blatt in the post-game interviews, when they go LeBron's way, will take credit for the play. But then also, he called a freaking timeout when they didn't have timeouts left. If they saw that timeout, and the whole reason that the referees did not see it is because nobody in the world of referees thought that a coach would be so stupid than to call a timeout with no timeouts left, because it simply truly has not happened before. Some players have done it before, but coaches don't, because coaches get told once every single time that they call a timeout, they get told that you know this is how many timeouts you have left. The fact that I am sure that Tyronn Lue will be coaching that team next year. There is no way that Blatt should have a job after that. They should have lost the game just because of that. And I can handle that the Bulls lost, whatever. They didn't play well. But I would have loved to see the backlash that Blatt – because this is going to go forgotten, because LeBron bailed him out. LeBron hit that final second three. If he got called for calling that timeout with no timeouts left, and the Bulls get the technical foul call, and they go to the line with 1.5 seconds left, and they nail the free throw, and then they get the ball. Oh my God! Could you imagine?
It would have been.
He wouldn't be coaching. He wouldn't be coaching in Game Five, man. He'd be fired right there.
That's
he'd be
why
fired
it is.
Before. They'd say timeout. They'd say timeout. The Bulls would hit the shot, and then they take a timeout, and then they fire him right there, and then they play the last second and a half without
looking
David
good.
Blatt.
would have been a good move. That's why LeBron, you could tell, is at his wit's end. I had no problem with what he said in the postgame. Everybody's like, he's burying his coach. You're damn right he's burying his coach. His coach is a walking moron. I mean, how you could do that, and then thank God Tyronn Lue had, if you're a Cleveland fan, thank God he had the sense to grab him and get this, you know, the wandering idiot. First of all, why are you wasting your timeouts? Because this goes for Tibbs, too. Vinny Del Blatt and Vinny Del Thibodeau, in honor of Vinny Del Negro, both wasted their timeouts. Both of them wasted their timeouts with, like, 30 seconds left. I don't know how many times.
I mean, they didn't. The Bulls should not have been. Look, if it wasn't for that technical foul, the Bulls would not have had the opportunity to tie the game.
But hold on a second. You can't predict. Phil Jackson wrote a book where he talked about this. You cannot keep on doing that. You have to save a timeout for the end of the game. Remember that famous shot with Tony Kukoc, 1.8 left against the Knicks that won the game? If Thibodeau and Vinny Del Blatt are coaching yesterday, they don't have any timeouts to get the ball to half court, and that doesn't happen. You have to always save a timeout for a last-second play, and let's just pretend that that shot, you know, by LeBron went through the net, and it was 1 second left. If the Bulls had a timeout, they could have had a play at half court and had a chance to win the game, but since he wasted all his timeouts, time would have ran out, just like it did in game two in 2009 against the Celtics because Vinny used all his staked timeouts. I don't know how many times I've said this. I've seen him do it all year. That is poor coaching. That's poor coaching from the Rain Man of coaches and Tom Thibodeau to be wasting
Bulls
your timeouts.
Back, desperation, man. They were desperately coming back in that game yesterday.
What are you talking
Bulls,
about?
They were done down the stretch yesterday.
Desperately coming back.
You got lucky
like
with that technical
game,
foul.
No. It was a close game the entire way. You absolutely 100% have to have. I'm talking about the Bulls. I'm not talking about Vinny Del Blatt.
But I'm saying that in the final, like, couple minutes of that game, it did not look like the Bulls were going to have a chance. It looked like they were going to lose. I mean, it looked like they were down by between, like, 5 and 8 points with, like, 2.5 minutes left.
Yeah, well, I just posed – I think on Twitter I sent out that Kukoc, 1994, game winner. Again, what did he learn from Phil Jackson there? Save your time. You have to have one timeout left for final seconds. And they keep on doing it over and over. And people are talking about the officiating. I got to disagree. You know, 9 times out of 10, when LeBron ran over Dunleavy, that's a foul. But 9 times out of 10, they don't call that. I mean, I've rarely seen them call that, or they call a foul on Dunleavy. The last play of the game, with 1.8 seconds left before the ball went out of bounds, you know, 9 times out of 10, you see the foul called on Noah there. They didn't call it. Those were two big no calls, you know, in our favor. So I admit there were some bad calls. There was a goaltending, obviously the three, you know, Blatt trying to give us the game. But it's our fault we lost that game. Don't blame the officials.
You shot 36%.
Yeah.
Okay, you're not going to win a ball game when you shoot 36%. That's the bottom line.
Oh,
but
you score under 20 points in two quarters, yeah.
Yeah, though I will say this, though. The Cavaliers in the third quarter scored 12 points. I mean, that makes 16 and 17 points in the second and third for us, or second and fourth, look like 50.
That's good, Connor.
I mean, 12 points. That's terrible. But I mean, look, both teams played bad. It's going to be interesting to see how we respond. It's not a guarantee that Pau Gasol is going to be out tomorrow, but it sounds like he probably is. It sounds like he's not going to be playing tomorrow. But
I hope not. I hope not. He's going to be totally ineffectual. You can't be effective on that injury. Have you ever had a hammy?
But that's them. That's for them to decide. I mean, if they think that he's effective, he'll play. I'm not going to say I hope not because I don't know. I hope he does because if he does, that means they're deeming that he's good enough to play. They're not going to play him if he's not good enough to play.
He could hardly move defensively before the injury. You imagine how bad he's going to be tomorrow? There's no way he should be playing. Our only hope is that you sit him out another game, you give him like 5 full days, and let's see if he's quasi-effective for – you know, game 6, but just, you got to hope Nico gets hot. I mean, he's the wild card there. And with all things are possible, if that guy plays like an all-star, which we've seen him do before. I know I've been hard on him, but I still believe in him. I think he's going to have a great career. He's going to be a great player. He's just sucked.
Most teams do not have that insurance plan. I mean, most teams, if they lost their starting, you know, one of their best players, they would not have an insurance plan like Nico Mirotic. As unproven as he is, he's better than most people's backups coming off the bench. So you're right. I mean, hey, all hope is not lost by any stretch. I mean, look, the advantage that we had when we left Cleveland, you know, a lot of people were down about game two. I was down about game two, obviously, because we got our butts waxed. But the fact is, you still took home court advantage away from the Cavs. Now the advantage is even, and we're back to being even. But What do you got? The Bulls were a good road team this year. The Bulls were not a team that really played that differently. They, if anything, they were worse at home. So it's like I'm not that worried about them going back on the road to that pitiful place in Cleveland with the Q. That's what they call it. I mean, playing in front of those nutjob fans who have videos on the scoreboards of domestic violence. I'm not worried about it. We had Kanye in the audience. It's a huge distraction. You don't have to worry about Kanye in Cleveland.
You know what's amazing is one of my high school teachers was sitting next to Kanye. Mrs. Hines, I love you if you're listening to the show. St. Lawrence High School, fantastic woman, cancer survivor, and she's actually sitting next to Kanye. Scotty Pippen, Kanye, Mrs. Hines, God love her. So, yeah, she's a great woman. Anyhow, again, lay here, Mark. Anything else? I got to get my...
Well, I mean, obviously, you've had some interesting games the last few days. I mean, it looks like Golden State tonight tied it up again.
Well, what's your prediction? Let's forget about all that stuff. Let's just focus on the Bulls. What do you think is going to happen tomorrow, Game 5?
The Bulls have generally played well with their backs against the walls. Their backs were not against the walls yesterday. It is what it is. I think that the Bulls will come out tomorrow and win. I think that they will. They've generally played well with their backs against the walls. And they're not completely against the walls yet, but they're close enough. It's like, okay, do you really want them against the walls? I mean, like, you lose tomorrow, and then, you know, one more game and you're done. So I do think that the Bulls will come out tomorrow. We're going to see their true colors. I think that tomorrow the Bulls will come out and play well. I think they'll win. I don't think Kyrie Irving is going to be good.
Well, you know, I hope I'm wrong here. I think they're going to lose tomorrow. I think it's going to be a bad loss. I think they're going to probably lose by 15 to 20. And then I think they're going to come back and win game 6, and then, you know, we're going to go to game 7. And so that's my prediction. I think we'll be
you
down.
You get 3 days off before game 7. You get 3 days off before game 7.
Which would be great. Well, exactly. And I think, you know, Gasol will come back probably for game 6, and limited, you know, obviously limited due to this injury. But if he's not playing tomorrow, I don't like their chances in Cleveland at all. At all.
Let me ask you this, Brett. This point in the playoffs right now, who's winning the NBA Finals?
Well, I said Golden State or San Antonio, so I'll stick by that. Although, it's hard not to be impressed with the Clippers. I mean, goodness gracious, it's Blake Griffin. It's just unbelievable how good he's playing. So, I mean, talk about a guy who's he's almost underrated to me because the guy can do everything. He's a good passer. He's handling the ball well. The guy's just incredible. And him and Paul, you know, that's a tough team to beat. But I still like Golden State. I mean, that's my team. I stuck with that pick. San Antonio or Golden State, one of those two teams, I think, are a cut above everybody else. They had a convincing win tonight against a tough Memphis team. And Memphis can guard like no other team on the perimeter. So when they come out and guard and they're beating a team like Memphis, that's an impressive victory. I think next round might be a little bit easier than beating Memphis. So we'll see. What do you think?
I still got to go. I got to go with the Clippers. I mean, and they certainly were not the team that I went with ever. But they're looking really good, and I've never in my life, ever in my life, seen a team in the playoffs, even in the regular season, pretty much give up in the first quarter. And that's what the Rockets did. The Rockets had 28 fouls on DeAndre Jordan at halftime. Let's see how many he had for the game. I'm sure he didn't have, like, I'm sure it wasn't representative of what he had for the game because they were getting their asses waxed. But DeAndre Jordan, 34 attempts at the line in the game yesterday. Unfreaking believable. The Rockets gave up. I mean, they literally just gave up at the beginning of the game. I mean, it's just like Kevin McHale today in an interview was saying that they had to mess up the game a little bit. They certainly did that. But, like, what do you think's going to happen? I mean, DeAndre Jordan went 14 for 34. You're getting all your players in foul trouble. You're tremendously slowing down the game, which is going to be a benefit to Chris Paul, who's got a bad hammy right now.
Great point.
Talk about bad hammies. He's got a bad hammy. Chris Paul thanked him after the game. I don't understand what they're trying to do because the fact is, look, you got to go out there, you play your cards. If you lose, you lose. By fouling somebody over and over and over and over and over again, you're not thinking that you're sending a message to the other team that they got you? That hey, that's just here's blood on a towel, man. Smell it. You lose. I mean, like, it's over. You're waving the flag. You're saying you have lost. Houston is pathetic. They do not deserve to be in the playoffs with this nonsense that they've done. The hack of Jordan has been going on throughout the playoffs, but never in the first quarter of, you know, with this being, you know, only the third victory for the Los Angeles Clippers, this wasn't a deciding game or anything. I mean, Houston would have tied the series if they'd won yesterday. Pathetic attempt by the Houston Rockets. But I'm going to have to say the Clippers, they just seem to be too well-rounded. And you got J.J. Redick playing out of his mind right now, but you also got freaking Austin Rivers, man. Austin Rivers has been playing awesome.
I'm shocked at that, yep.
The depth.
He's played
really
well.
It's all about my talk, man. When I hazed him during that Clippers game, about 6 weeks ago, all of a sudden his career changed overnight. I said, why doesn't Daddy put you back in the game? What did Daddy do? He put him back in the game. Now look, he's good.
Yeah, you were really attracting a lot of attention in that one. That was good stuff.
When he gets that contract extension, man, that better – give a little sum to Daddy, man. Give a little sum back here.
You probably were the inspiration for his breakouts. I got to admit, one of the biggest surprises all season to see how well – that kid's played in the playoffs because I didn't have a very high opinion of him. And you got to hand it to the kid. He really has come through. So pretty impressive stuff.
I'm just going to say this. So since I hazed him, so I yelled at him. If you go back, listen to the episode. It was a while ago, but the Clippers episode back around the 1st of March. He had 2 points in that game. He was terrible, 1-for-6. He had 13 points in the next game. Fred, two nights later in Golden State, he had 22. The following night, 13. Then he had a couple days later, 21 against the Knicks and 13 against the Philadelphia 76ers. And then in this playoffs, he's been unbelievable. He had 16 points and 11 points in two different games against San Antonio. But in this Houston Rockets series, he's averaging 16 points. He had 17 points in the first game, 10, 25, and 12. Unbelievable job by Austin Rivers. I hope he's not listening to this because my hazing of him is what made him play like this. I don't want him to hear my apology. But Austin, I am apologizing to you right now. If you are listening, hopefully maybe when you play the Chicago Bulls in the finals, then you'll listen to it.
I'm sure he's relieved, and now he'll finally be able to get some sleep. Hey, you know, I was reading this bloggable while you were talking there. Did you know that Jimmy Butler hasn't talked to the media for days here? This is from Chris Terzic, who's a nice follow on Twitter. It's really interesting, don't you think so? Apparently, Butler's now gone consecutive days without addressing the media, which initiated the media people, I guess. Look, I don't want to throw some nonsense out there, but when Butler went on bereavement leave in early January this year, he was quiet around that time, and I believe he skipped on a few media sessions prior to the leave. Basically, I just hope nothing more serious is going on in Jimmy's personal life because I remember things got a little weird in January, too. And also, Gasol did not practice today, according to this article, so it's pretty unlikely he's going to play.
You're resting a hammy. I mean, you're resting a hammy. You wouldn't expect them to be practicing the day before. We'll see if he's a shoot around tomorrow. If it's not a shoot around, then obviously it's not a good sign.
Wow.
But I like the idea of don't tell anyone. If he is playing tomorrow, don't tell anyone. Say that he's not playing. Then all of a sudden he comes out like freaking Willis Reed.
Kyrie Irving puts himself at 30%. Way to set low expectations for yourself. Listen, I said in that last show I thought Rose was better than Irving, and I got a lot of are you serious, you know, a lot of those type of emails. Well, you know what? I think I look a little better on that statement. So.
Well, yeah, but Kyrie Irving is injured right now, for God's sakes. But Derek was injured before, so it all comes around. It all comes around.
All right, my man. I got
to
get
just not to LeBron James. So I will say this. People thought that I was sick because I was at a bar watching the last game, and I was like going nuts when LeBron got injured when he twisted his ankle. I was like, "Oh yeah, finally!
He's superhuman, man.
He never gets injured. Anybody else, I don't want to see injuries. LeBron, he's been playing now for like 15 years. The man's never been injured once. Come on, man.
Are you familiar with the term karma, Dr. Karma?
Well,
we haven't had our karma.
How it can't get any worse.
Well, no, Dr. Karma, you got issues with. Dr. Karma is going to see you for an appointment, Mark. Don't do that. That's not cool. I don't think that's a good thing to do. I don't want to beat a team if they're injured. I want to beat them at their best and win. I mean, I'm not happy that Love's out. I'd rather.
Man.
Maybe you're right.
We played LeBron already twice without Derrick Rose. I could care less. They already are injured.
Yeah, I'd prefer to beat LeBron when he's on the court, really. I think that's where you get a lot of success.
I would feel better, but let me ask you this, Fred. Say you wouldn't beat LeBron if he wasn't injured, but you would beat him if he was. There you go.
Hey, I'll take beating anybody at any time, you know, anyway, but I still would prefer to beat him when he's on the court. Well, yeah, I'm not just going to quit the game because he's out. I mean, yeah, of course, but, you know, you want to win. But anyhow, If the Bulls, if LeBron's out and the Bulls still lose, then, you know, Tibbs should be fired before the end of the game. All right, my man, I got to get some beauty sleep.
Enjoy yourself, Freddie. Good game. Good show. Hopefully we have a good game tomorrow. And until next time, if it ain't Bulls.
Yeah, basketball. All right, my man.
Talk to you. Bulls fans, Mark Lewenthal here, Fred Pfeiffer as well. Chicago Bullseye, you know what we're doing. We did a show yesterday after game two. We haven't posted it yet, so we're going to be doing this after game three, and we will put the game two show after this. Fred Pfeiffer, God bless you, man. How you doing? I'm in a great mood today, Fred. How are
really?
You?
How about a public apology for your long complaint on Rose Street?
No, dude, it was the final second shot.
How great was that?
I have no problem with the final second shot. My God. Can I talk to you about my night, Fred? Can I talk to you about my night?
Sure. Go right ahead.
I met a Bulls fan who listens to this show. He emailed me, and I went to the show. I went to, and met up with him for the game.
Get out.
I had no idea. We went to a Cavaliers bar, and I didn't know it was a Cavaliers bar. It's one of my favorite bars in the city. I did not know it was a Cleveland bar.
Wait, it was a guy?
It was a guy, unfortunately.
You usually only meet our girl fans, I thought. All right, well, go on. No,
normally I do. This was an anomaly. So
okay.
I didn't know that I was at a Cavaliers bar. So after, like, it was like first big play of the game, because we came out kind of strong at the way beginning of the game. Like, first big play of the game, everybody starts cheering. I turn around, I'm like, what the hell is going on here? I had no idea I was at a Cavs bar. So,
first of all, hold on a second. There's a Cavs bar in the city? Where
there
is
are multiple
place?
Cavaliers
is it,
bars.
Is it like in a bathroom? Is
it
just
was
filled
on,
with toilets?
You would think. It was on Fullerton and Clark. I'm going to say this. Most of the Cavs fans, very classy people, but
really?
One of them was not. And at the end of the game, this one guy wanted to chase me out. Like, I mean, literally, I mean, I came about as close as I've gotten in a fight in about 15 freaking years. It was because...
I've seen that version of you.
Well, here's what I did, and it was a mistake. So when Taj Gibson hit those two free throws at the end of the game that I thought was going to seal the game, obviously J.R. Smith hit that big shot, which tied the game. I was kind of like hushing them down, and when he hit those shots, I flicked them off. And this guy went nuts. When Derek and everybody saw it as kind of a joke until Derek hit the three. And this guy was like charging me after the game, and I was, whatever, man. I stepped up. I was like, F you, man. What's your problem? D Rose, yeah, God bless you.
Somehow I believe that probably didn't go down like that. It was probably like, hey, man, I'm sorry.
I can just imagine.
As you're running out the door and he finally gets you in an alley, you're like, hey, man, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do it.
No, I actually, I waited him out. I stayed at the bar until he left.
Well, anyhow, I'm proud of you. Way to play the fight.
There was one Bulls fan there, and the one Bulls fan there bought me a shot, and I hung out with him and his Cavaliers friends, and we talked basketball.
Well, first of all, I thought you said you met up with a fan. Who's the fan? Which guy?
I did. He left right after the game, though. He left right after the game, though.
Way to back you up. God, what the hell, man?
I know.
You're about ready to throw down and he's running out the bar? I don't get it. What's the deal?
Well, I was never trying to throw down, but this guy was getting very aggressive. So it was like, whatever. I mean, I was stepping it up and I was like, wait, what are you going to do? And let me say this. If he represents the city of Cleveland, you got a very, very sad city over there.
Oh, Cleveland's a giant toilet, so I fully
the rest
this
of the
guy
fans,
was wearing no sleeves and probably Zubas or something.
No, he had that ugly yellow Cavs jersey on. So I'll say this. Look,
right.
Everybody else, I had great discussions with a lot of Cavs fans yesterday, a lot of good basketball talk. He was the exception. He was definitely not the rule. He was the exception. Everybody else there was actually – I mean, everybody else there was a good sport. And, everybody was, there were people from Cleveland that had moved here. So, you know, they were like quasi-Bulls fans, but Cavs fans at heart. And, you know, God bless them. I mean, whatever. I mean, that's a city that deserves a little bit of love. I mean, come on.
Not really. Not really. It's America's toilet, and I hope we sweep them. Anyhow, how about that last
night? You hope we sweep them. We ain't going to sweep them.
That's right. We'll sweep the rest of the game. That's right. We already won one. I forgot. Somehow I forgot my joy of the game yesterday. I am a little concerned. Well, the good, you know, Tibbs actually showed some flexibility and
throwing out.
I could not believe it when he played Dunleavy to close the game as opposed to Noah, which, you know, I was just shocked. And that was huge because Dunleavy spreads the floor, allows lanes for Rose to drive, Jimmy to drive. And the offense was pretty stagnant to close the game. You know, we forget. I think they were like 1-6 to end the game. I have major concerns. I think we're all about to get a crash course in how important Paul Gasol was to his offense. I think we're going to have a massive.
Yeah, but I don't think. I think Pop will be back. I mean, he strained his hamstring. He'll be fine.
He's going to miss the next game. I can almost guarantee it. Hamstrings suck, and.
But it's a strain. It's not a sprain.
I would absolutely. He didn't finish. He didn't come back in the game, Mark. There's no way. I predict
now. You rest a couple of days. You'll be all right. I'm sure.
Yeah, you're better off. You're better off saying don't.
You won
that
game without Pau Gasol, and I mean that says something. That Pau did not play at all, and you're absolutely right about the flexibility with Tibbs. The fact that he stopped playing Noah was terrible. Again,
he was
terrible, and you saw it. You know, and God bless him, he was aggressive to start the game. He was trying really hard to be aggressive, and he still sucked. And thankfully, Thibodeau, I mean, he gave Nico some major minutes there, and he contributed in that game.
Nico
and at the
was
end
great.
Of the game,
thank God. Nico got to the free throw line. He was 3-8. I had to laugh a little bit that, you know, everybody was, I read several tweets that, you know, he shot the ball fantastic, and he was 3-8. And then read several tweets after Gasol was 3-8 in game two, how bad Gasol played. But that said, he did get to the line. That's huge. It's a talent that Nico has, and they called him. And, you know, I was shocked that they actually called those fouls. But he got to the line, made 4 free throws. He had a great second quarter. He did not play well in the second half. He missed a couple wide-open threes in Q4. But he had 5 fouls. He had some issues on defense. I just have a hard time. I know everybody wants to see Nico, and I like him, you know, in spot minutes. But when you go big, when Cleveland goes big, Nico's too small to keep, and to keep their big guys off the boards. I mean, Thompson is 240 pounds. Nico's probably playing at 210 right now. You just can't keep that guy off the back. I think you have to go Taj Noah. I mean, I can't believe I'm saying it because, no, I think you probably got to go Taj Nico and just let it ride. If Nico gets hot, man, he starts hitting threes, we're going to win the game. The guy's phenomenal when he's hot and going.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but if he has an off night, you know, it's going to be rough for us. Because on the defensive end, I thought he had quite a bit of issues in the second half against the bigger guys. He had 5 fouls. He didn't play that long, right? I mean, how many minutes did he put in yesterday? I don't recall.
I would imagine that it was
Let me look it up really quick. Yeah, but, I mean, he played great. I mean, there's no denying. Second quarter, he played great. And, you know, good to see.
Look, no matter what he did, he's better than Noah. He's better than Noah.
Yeah, I mean.
God damn it, man. I do not understand what happened to that guy. He's terrible. He's terrible. I mean, you know, God bless him that he got in, James's face there, and I think it was the third, where he got into James's face. They had a little bit of a scuffle.
That's why everybody loves
him. His energy's still there. But, I mean, he hit 3 blocks. That was nice, but. You know,
and he rebounded the ball. He did some nice work on the rebound. I mean, 21 minutes, he had 11 rebounds, 1-8 shooting. He did have 3 blocks. So he was pretty active on the defensive end. You got to give it to him there. Nico played, let's see here real quick.
When he hit those free throws at the
Nico
beginning of the game, I thought he might
minutes.
Be onto something.
So Nico and Noah both played 21 minutes, but Nico put up 12 points, 8 rebounds. 8 rebounds is fantastic. You got to hand it to 1-4 from 3, not great, but 5-6, excuse me, from the free throw line. 5 free throws, 6 attempts. That's phenomenal. Nico had 2 steals, 8 rebounds, 12 points in 21 minutes. A-plus effort, man. That's a good game. You got to hand it to the kid. And I hope he's going to get those calls in the limited minutes again. Hopefully his minutes will go up now. I don't think it's likely, but I hope he does for our sake because, you know, Gasol's out. I don't like our chances with Gasol out. I just think the guy is the oil that runs our offensive machinery.
I agree, but he did not play a lot yesterday, and we won despite Paul.
He had 21 minutes. Played 21 minutes. He was 3.
Yeah, but in crunch time, he wasn't there at all, and we still won that game. I mean, you really got to commend us on that effort. I mean, at the end of the game, I mean, you got to commend us on that effort, and good God, D Rose. Can we talk about Derek? Can we talk about Derek?
Really quick though, Gasol, 21 minutes. 6 points, 4 assists, 4 rebounds, 3 blocks. Not bad, man. Yeah, that's pretty good. Derek was awesome in the second half. I mean, that was just phenomenal. But he's 7-17, I think, in the second half. He took good shots.
Even in the first half where he wasn't shooting well, I don't care when you're taking good shots. I mean, I thought that we easily could have won that game. I thought that we forced a few shots in the second half. If you don't force shots, if you move the ball around, we're generally pretty successful when you take easy shots. I mean, that Jimmy Butler bucket, I think his last basket of the game where he did that fake under the rim and he put it up. Why aren't you taking shots like that? Why aren't you consistently moving the ball down low and just taking easy shots? I'm okay.
Because when Noah's out there, you got a guy who's never 4 feet, a big guy, from the basket. That's why. The lane is packed. That's what they're trying to do when Noah's out there. When you can throw Nico out there, you can throw Gasol out there. That's more of a stretch five, stretch four. They got to come out. You're going to get those opportunities. And when you have Dunleavy out there. I don't understand why he's playing Kirk so much. I mean, I'm not going to rip on Kirk. He didn't do anything yesterday. I think he had no points 20 minutes without any shot attempts, no assists. He might have had one assist. I don't recall.
He didn't do anything.
Why is he playing him? I don't want to rip on him because he hasn't been horrible.
Wait. Kirk Heinrich, the first two games, I mean, he's shooting like 75% this series. I mean,
it's like
in the limited minutes
let's not
he's
act
played,
like he's – let's not act like he's Dirk Nowitzki out there shooting jumper after jumper. He's made 4 or 6 wide open jumpers. I'm very happy
well,
to
whatever
him, but he's not like.
So who would you rather play, Fred? I mean, I get it.
I still don't understand Snell. Like, Snell's just not going to play anymore? I mean, what? He played like. I think he had barely played yesterday. He was 0-1.
He was 0-1 with 0 minutes. What does that mean?
He played under like 1 minute. Probably played a few seconds and probably. I don't recall his shot in that time. I don't know.
When?
Yesterday.
When did he play?
Well, it says on the box score he's 0-1. So he did have one shot attempt somehow.
Do you remember him playing?
No, I don't. I honestly don't. Maybe he got up a shot at halftime that somebody accidentally thought the game was going on and they put it in the box score. I don't recall.
That's what I think. He was doing his shoot around and they counted it, not realizing.
Usually that means that he played under a minute. So that means
do
when
you
they
think
don't,
though, I mean, D-Rose, 26 shot attempts. You don't think that that's a little excessive?
No, not really. Not when Gasol's out. I think you got to go to Rose over and over and over again. Butler had 17. I mean, those are your three biggest guys. What do you want? Please don't start this nonsense again. You know,
dude,
you
James
do
was 8
stuff.
For 25. I had
why
no
don't
idea.
Pass it around. What do you want? Do you want Noah and Heinrich and Gibson to have like 14, 15, 16 shots a game? I don't mind Gibson. I thought a pretty solid game yesterday. 22 minutes, 9 points, 9 boards in only 22 minutes. I thought he played pretty well with a block. But,
How about Brooks, though, man? Brooks was terrible yesterday. And the fact, I mean, not only was he terrible, but when he made that foul, was that J.R. Smith where he did that push? And it was like, it was just ridiculous. Where he got that technical foul, they pulled him out of the game. I don't think he played again, thank God. And then you put back Derrick Rose for the remainder of the third and all of the fourth. I mean, to watch Derek do what he's doing right now, I mean, he carried that team in the fourth quarter. To see him doing it again is just it's just such a beautiful thing, man. I mean, for him to be the guy that hit that shot at the end of the game, it's just such a beautiful thing, man. I mean, this guy, he deserves it. To see how well he's playing, considering what he's been through, we've talked about it before. I mean, people give him a hard time. No matter what he does, he gets a hard time. And, I mean, did he shoot the ball well yesterday? No, I mean, he's 10 for 26. He still had 30 points, but 30 points on 26 shot attempts isn't that great. But nobody's going to remember that because he hit that game winner. Fine. I mean, hopefully this gets him back to where he needs to be. But that was almost poetic, man. I mean, him hitting that shot.
It was great. It was great.
I
want to say something about Brooks. Brooks is like 2 of his last 15 in the series. I don't know what the hell is wrong with him. I mean, he was super valuable.
Forcing shots. That's what it is, though.
He's just going up there chucking up shots. I mean, he is stuck. It is unbelievable.
So is Noah, though. Let's be honest, though. So is Noah. Noah's shot attempts yesterday were ridiculous. The shots that he was taking at the beginning of the game were ridiculous. He was, like, chucking the ball into the air. He was taking, like, Hail Marys. They were ridiculous.
Well, you know what happened? You know, they all watched the film. Kids pointed it out. Nobody's guarding him. And he basically probably looked at him and challenged him and said, dude, you got to make something happen on the offensive end because it's basically 4-5 right now. Nobody's guarding you. Take it strong to the hoop, try to make something happen. And I really didn't have a huge problem with his attempts. It's just he doesn't have any lift. He doesn't have anything there, you know, to make
what
it happen. You know what I'm saying?
God. Yeah, no, it's terrible. Well, I thought, though, at the beginning, though, he took contested shots and he was, like, chucking the ball. Like, it was like he was, like,
yeah,
chucking the ball off the back. He looked terrible. We have a deep team. We have a good basketball team. Understand the fact that, I mean, you've given him every opportunity to be successful this year. You've stuck with him because he's Joakim Noah throughout the entire season. Thank God, yesterday, you finally put him on the bench. And I hope to God that moving forward that continues, because Joakim Noah is not Joakim Noah anymore. He just isn't. He sucks, and it is what it is. What are you
going
to do?
Well, I'm glad people are starting to realize it isn't Saul's fault. I'm just so sick of that narrative. And you'll see the next game, he's gonna suck again on offense, and he's going to, you know, just be average on defense. That's how I kind of feel that he is on defense now. I don't even think he's like a real huge difference maker on defense. I don't. I know people want to, you know, like act like he is, you know, still close to approaching defensive player of the year status. He's not even in the same vicinity of where he was in February of 2014, which was his apex. And I'm sure it's his knee. You know, I'm sure it's an injury. And that's what makes this whole thing so sad. But, you know, he's kind of like, I think there's only a few people out there who realize or still really believe that, you know, this guy is just a huge difference maker. And I think next game, if Gasol's out, I think you got to have Mirotić playing 30 minutes. Probably Noah somewhere around 20 and go.
I would think that he would. He played 22
yesterday. I don't think
yesterday.
So. I don't think he'll do that. Maybe, I hope so. I don't think he will, though. Yeah, Noah still played more minutes than I think he did yesterday than the Mirotić.
No, they tied 22, both.
Yeah. I mean,
But Thibodeau had the realization during the game that Noah sucks. So give him that. Like, I mean, it was like, I am assuming that Noah's leash is going to be a lot shorter going into the next game. Now that Nico's played well, I would imagine that his leash is going to be a little bit shorter. But I'm going to ask you this, though. Why is Taj only playing 23 minutes? I mean, Taj has been extremely efficient this series. He's been great. I mean, he had 9 rebounds yesterday, 3-for-4. Every game. I mean, he's shooting like 75% this series. Why isn't Taj playing more? Just play Taj.
He has been great, and he always does this. He always plays great in playoffs. I love Taj. Now, I don't have an answer for you, especially after Gasol went out. I don't know what it is. I mean, before you can make the argument, you got four healthy guys. I still believe that, you know, I'll say that 100 times, Gasol to me is the most underrated bull I've seen since Ben Gordon. As far as on the offensive end, what he does for the offense is just, and I think you'll see it in the next game. I think we're going to suffer tremendously if he doesn't play.
He will be back. Come on.
He's
gonna
not going to play
back.
The next game. I hope he's – in fact, I think the smart decision is just sit him out. Let's hope Nico saves
no!
up.
No!
It's hot.
No!
No, no, you just sit him out. You don't play with hamstrings, dude. You just play Nico 30 to 40 minutes and hope that he gets hot from three. And if Nico gets hot from three, man, there's nobody in the world that can't beat. I mean, that's his – when he gets it on automatic, the team is almost unbeatable.
Well, and that's why when everybody says that this is our year and we have nothing, you know, pretty much this now is the time for the Bulls. I disagree with that because Nico Mirotić, give him a season. I mean, he's a rookie. You give this guy a year. This guy is going to be a great basketball player, and Jimmy Butler is young. So and so is Rose.
Yeah,
frankly,
we don't have any choice.
Noah isn't going to be there. Maybe Noah and you know Taj and these guys are getting old. But the fact is that. Once Nico hits his stride and becomes the peak player that he's going to be, whatever that player is going to be, I think Nico's going to be a hell of a player.
I
mean, we obviously know Jimmy Butler's a hell of a player, and Derek's playing really well. He's only 26. This is not the only opportunity the Bulls
have. No, you're wrong. You're wrong. I'm telling you why you're wrong. If Gasol was healthy, I completely agree with you. I think it's insane and ridiculous to put all this pressure on a rookie who, frankly, hasn't shot the ball well. He hasn't really shot it out well all season by the shooting metrics. What he does do well is get to the free throw line. Dude, if Gasol's out, that's our only hope then. I mean, you need Nico to come in and hit threes and play at an incredibly high level, hopefully draw fouls. And if he could do that too and play like he did in March, then we got a chance, man. We got a chance. But I'm telling you, if Gasol's out for any extended period of time, Nico is our only hope. Otherwise, the offense is going to grind to a complete halt and stall. And you're going to be like, what the hell happened? It's going to be because the stretch five that Gasol position was playing that opens up lanes for Butler and Rose would be closed like a iron door. And you're going to probably see a lot more Noah, who doesn't stretch anything. I mean, there's just a guy waiting at the rim. And, you know, I don't know what it is with Taj, but he hasn't really shot the ball, in my opinion, as well outside the paint this year. He always had a nice jumper, but he's not doing it as well this year.
Really? I thought he has. I feel like he has. Last five games, he's shooting 65%, and I've seen jumpers. I mean, he hasn't had a lot of attempts. The most attempts he had against Milwaukee.
I agree with you. I do like him, but you got to admit, he doesn't draw as much attention on the perimeter as a Gasol and Nico do. That's all I'm saying, man. I'm just saying, if Gasol's out, Nico's the only chance we have. That's the only chance we have, so play him. Play him, because we're not going to win if we're going to – it's going to be 2014 Wizards playoffs all over again, where you're just going to have just the offense is a joke in the fourth quarter and you can't score a basket. That's what's going to happen. I mean, there's always the possibility that Rose, you know, turns it on nuclear and hits threes, and you know, but there's not going to be lanes for our main guys to do things. So,
Fred, you really brought me down there, man. I was feeling
I'm
really
not bringing
good
you
coming
down.
To the
Nico
show.
Can do it. Nico can
I
do it.
I was feeling really good coming to this show. I mean, we're not talking about the thing that really made a difference. We're not talking about D. Rose. Why can't we talk about Derek? Why can't we talk
about
Derek?
Well, let's talk about him. Hey, listen, I'm just saying. We're 2-1. They don't get down. Here's the game plan.
Hey, this is the best we've played against LeBron so far. Everybody wants to say it's going to be just like every single year. So far, we're 2-1. I mean, this is the best we've played against LeBron.
Have we ever got 1-2 games against LeBron?
I don't think so.
Not in the playoffs.
Maybe. I don't remember, though.
No, we never have. I'm certain about it.
In the Cleveland years, we never did?
No.
I don't remember.
Never. We never played them until 2010.
I had a debate with somebody yesterday. After the 2006 season, when we made the playoffs, the year that we got Derrick Rose, did we make the playoffs that year?
Yes.
I thought we did.
Yes, we went. We had the epic series against Boston.
No. The year before when we got him in the draft.
No. Why do you think we had the number one pick? That was a disaster year where Heinrich fell off the map. Heinrich had one of the worst years I've ever seen for a guy who was, you know, pretty good the previous season. Gordon.
We didn't make the playoffs?
No. That's why we were in the lottery. How do you think we got the pick for Rose?
We weren't. But we were like 13th.
You don't remember Ball Boylan?
I do remember Ball Boylan. The East was terrible. We did not make the playoffs?
No. How do you think Jim Ball Boylan would do in a playoff? Can you ever imagine
that
guy?
Isn't he coaching on Cleveland?
I don't know what he's doing. All I know is the guy was on a bench.
He was on one of the playoff teams. He's on the bench of one of the playoff teams. Maybe it wasn't Cleveland. It's one of the playoff teams.
I know he had cancer, so God bless him. I wish him all the best and well. But as far as a head coach goes, that guy was one of the biggest jokes. He made Vinny Del Negro look like Phil Jackson. That guy was a complete jackass.
He came in for Skiles middle of the year. I swear, I thought we made the playoffs.
No, we did not. You got to stop this. You're embarrassing yourself. Everyone is screaming at the podcast. No, we did not make the playoffs that year.
So
we were in
the
lottery.
Year that we have not made the playoffs. That was the only year we have not made the playoffs since, 06?
No,
04.
We made the playoffs
04.
And we've made the playoffs every year with the exception
since
of that.
Since 04.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Give Gar Pat some credit, man. We've been pretty darn good. Well, I mean,
yeah.
It hasn't been stellar, but we have gone to one Eastern Conference final. And I think I think we got a really darn good shot of going to another one. So here's the game plan. Listen to me.
Not only do we have a good shot, but now that John Wall had gotten – look, I mean, what a devastating injury. And I'm not happy about this at all. I mean, you don't like seeing teams get derailed because of injuries. Nobody likes to see that.
I completely agree with you.
By the way, did the Clippers win last night? I don't even know.
I don't know either. I passed out after Rose hit that three.
I was defending myself in the bar like Rocky Balboa, man. I was sitting up there.
That's right. Yeah, just like him. The exact same way. Here's a game plan. Here we go. Next game, sit out Gasol, let him get healthy for game five. Game five. You start Nico. You start Nico and Taj. Nico at the four, Taj at the center. Gosh, I don't know about this. Because Thompson is so stinking big. He's 240. Anyhow, Thompson's going to have to come out then and guard Nico. And then you hope Nico just goes off. Drawing fouls, plays like he did in March. And especially, like, hitting threes. Like, if he can hit 50%, if he can hit 40% or more from three, the Bulls will win every game. If not, well, we're going to be losing until Paul gets back. There you go.
Can I throw something out there? Isn't it unbelievable? Tristan Thompson yesterday, 41 minutes, 13 rebounds. What does this say about David Blatt that his initial response was not to start Tristan Thompson, that he played Mike Miller? Mike Miller was a DNP yesterday. The fact that he started him in game one, what the hell was he thinking? What the hell are you thinking when you've got a guy that is Tristan Thompson is a power forward. Why would you not be starting him when Kevin Love goes down? Why would you not be starting him?
Well, I think it's probably because Thompson does not really, and Mozgov do not really stretch the floor. And I kind of understand what he was doing there. I said this before, the way to beat Cleveland is to pack the lane and force him to beat you from the outside. What?
But he's a power forward. What power forwards do stretch the floor? Very few.
Well, yeah, but that's the point. What's the method for beating the Bulls? Stretch out Gasol, stretch out Noah, make them guard you out to the three-point line, force them to, you know, deep pick and rolls, you know, getting them out away from the basket. That's been the way to really hurt the Bulls this season. That's how they've been hurt more often than not.
So you play Mike Miller that has shot 32% this season? He shot 32% this season.
Hey, I'm not
he's
saying
barely
it was a great
played.
Decision. But if Mike Miller, maybe he's getting Mike Miller confused with the 2008 version, but if that guy comes out and hits threes, why open threes?
That's bad coaching. If you lose this series, you fire David Blatt. I mean, that was ridiculous. That was absolutely ridiculous.
I think he is a wandering idiot. I'm not going to argue with you there. The guy does not impress me in any way. So, you know, it's LeBron's team, right, man? The way LeBron goes, LeBron was 1-7 yesterday from three. And I just basically tweeted, dude, you lost this game. If you hit one more three or two more threes, you're going to win this game. And you didn't. It's all on you. Think about that tonight. You know, and you're never going to be Michael Jordan. That's basically what I tweeted. So it was all on him,
sure.
In my opinion.
And, I mean, you know, LeBron's 30 years old now. I mean, let's just keep it real. Jordan went to college. Jordan started a couple of years after LeBron did, but I mean, LeBron's got his two championships because he went to his super team. He played with the Avengers, the Super Friends, over in Miami. You know, LeBron or Michael didn't have to do this. And the one thing that I reminded every single Cavs fan yesterday, yeah, he went back. What a humble, amazing guy. This team would not be this team if he never left in the first place. The reason the Cavaliers have these players is because he left. That's the reason. So I don't care what, even if you win a championship, the only reason that you got Kyrie Irving, the only reason that you got the number one pick, which you were about to blow because you traded him for a guy that's about to leave, whatever. The only reason you got these players is because LeBron James left in the first place. LeBron James never would have won a title ever.
You should remind him how crappy their city is. That's what I remember about Cleveland.
Well, I was about to get my ass kicked, so I tried not to. I was trying to be somewhat PC.
Oh, well, you know what? You should explain to them that if they really want to make the city better, the best way, instead of using that negative energy to kick Mark Blumenthal's ass, is to take a ride over Cleveland and spend a couple years cleaning up all the garbage on the street. The whole city is a disaster. They should be ashamed of themselves. And their record in championship games is commensurate with the quality of the city. It's America's toilet, and I hope we win out the next four and they go back to sucking again, because that's exactly what they deserve. All right, my man. I got to get going here. It's
real fast. Real fast.
Okay.
I just want you to say right now, I want you to just do a soliloquy to Derrick Rose really quickly. He deserves it, please. Three years in the making.
Derrick, I've always been behind Derrick Rose. I think anybody who's listened to the show for a long period of time knows I'm unabashed Derrick fan. I love the kid. I think he's been unfairly criticized over the last few years, and then he has got a little bit of bad advice from the complete moron named B.J. Armstrong, but overall, Derrick Rose is a good person. I want nothing for the best of him. I don't understand any hate on Derrick Rose. It's not like he's wanted to have these injuries. I think he's still an excellent basketball player. I still think he's an elite basketball player. I still think he's better. I'd rather have him in the series than Kyrie Irving. I think Derrick is a
really
kid. Yes. I'm being okay. Honest. I honestly don't. I think Irving's greatness this year is probably 75% due to LeBron James. I think Irving is.
Well, Irving was 3 for 13 yesterday. I didn't realize that. James was 8 for 25. When you're in a bar, that's the one. I like watching games at home because you can keep track of everything. It's harder when you're at a bar. I did not know James was 8 for 25. I didn't know that Irving was 3 for 13. The fact that the game was that close with them shooting so poorly, it says something. It shouldn't have been that close.
I know he tweaked his ankle, you know, early in the game. I just think Irving's a loser. I really do. If you had the talent around him that Rose had, basically, if you look at it, Rose's talent in 2010 in his MVP season around him and the talent that Irving had last year around him isn't, you know, Rose's team was better, no denying that, but it's not like a, you know, galactic leap in talent. He had some players around him. He had Luol Deng. His second best player was Luol Deng, just like Derrick Rose in 2010. And what did he do? The team sucked. He's a loser. And in everything he's accomplishing is primarily at the cape of LeBron James. So I think it is fair, and I think that Derrick Rose is better than Kyrie Irving.
Kyrie Irving didn't have a single assist yesterday. Did you know that?
Yeah, so why do you keep on arguing for him? I don't know how many times I have to watch a Cleveland game and see Rose completely kick Irving's ass to say – for people that, like, quit looking at me like I just, you know, made some incredibly shocking, unbelievable statement. Derrick Rose, in my opinion, against Kyrie Irving, I'd rather have Derrick Rose. That's all I'm
saying. If we win this series, I think that you're probably right because, I mean, obviously,
well, thank you.
Derrick, at the end of the game, not only did he hit, I mean, that unbelievable three to win the game that almost got me killed, that unbelievable three, but what about that half step over LeBron James? That was like it was almost he was like right under the 3-point line. That was a ridiculous shot. And when he took it, you know, I mean, I've had an issue this season with Derrick forcing some shots. But the problem is that when he hits shots like that shot, you're like, I mean, he can hit those. I mean, he that's what he does. I mean, you've seen it throughout the series. I mean, Derrick throughout the series has hit some unbelievable shots. Now he's missed some unbelievable attempts as well. So, I mean, your question, where, you know, at what point do you weigh down taking good shots versus, taking those Hail Marys? But the fact is, when you got a guy that can hit those shots, sometimes you got to take them because it keeps people on their toes. And you're a lot more unpredictable when you've got a guy like Derrick Rose doing hop steps over LeBron James.
It's still Derrick's
from
team.
Right under the
it's Derrick's
line.
Team. It's not Kyrie Irving's team. The Cavs are not. Yeah, are you serious?
Is it Derrick's team?
It's Derrick's team. Where Derrick goes, we go. I still believe it's Derrick's team. He's got two superstars around him now, finally, in Jimmy Butler and Paul Gasol, but it's Derrick's team. He's the man. And then you look at Cleveland, it's not Kyrie Irving's team. It's LeBron James' team, and you got Irving around.
It would have been Kyrie Irving's team if LeBron didn't go there. What are you
if it
do
was
LeBron?
Kyrie Irving's team, they'd be in the lottery. That's a fact. Kyrie Irving's done jack without LeBron James. He's been horrible without him. I mean, the team
was a very different team. I mean, to be fair,
oh, yeah.
Luol
Deng and
there
a bunch
year.
Of talent around him. Yeah, he's
I guess you're. I mean, yeah. Was Luol Deng the only player there for half a season?
He was there for a significant part of time. And the Luol Deng that was in Cleveland wasn't that much different than the Luol Deng in 2010.
Yeah,
it's
and
not
you're
like he was. What? And you're in East.
And you're in East.
Was the team better? No. Everybody actually, Cleveland had no talent last year. They had tons of talent. The guy just was a loser. And it took LeBron to get over there. Yeah, tons of talent. They had lots of talent.
Okay, of their starting lineup, that was there last year. Kyrie Irving,
Luol Deng, who played like 45 minutes for the Bulls. You know,
well, to be fair, your favorite player here, Luol Deng, they didn't make the playoffs in Miami. He didn't make the playoffs with Miami this year. So,
Mark, you're just making my argument. Luol Deng with Derrick Rose.
How's that making your argument?
Yeah. Derrick Rose takes Luol Deng as his second best player and Lorne Eats in conference finals. Kyrie Irving takes it all day as his second best player, and they're in the lottery. There you go.
Yeah, and now, Dwayne Wade takes him as second best player, and they don't even make the playoffs either.
Well, there was a lot of injuries. Come on. Are you going to compare? Are you going to compare the Miami Heat this year with the amount of injuries they had? Dwayne Wade was hurt for a lot of the year. Come on. No. I'm not going to buy it.
You always had Bosch or Wade play. You always had one of the two playing.
Listen, I'm not ready for this argument right now. I'm not at all. Casino's on Spike TV, and I got to watch my kids. So,
If you want to argue the merits of Luol Deng,
I don't like Luol Deng. I don't miss Luol Deng. I mean, he's a great guy. I love him. He's a nice guy.
How can you miss him when Jimmy Butler's playing the way that he's playing? There hasn't been one minute
since he's been traded where I've said, gosh damn, I wish we still had Luol Deng. I've never said that. I never will
say that. We got better when we traded him.
Yeah, that's, I mean, exactly. So, you know, but the fact is, he was our second-best player. He was our second-best player when Rose took us to the final, to Eastern Conference Finals. I think that tells you a lot about the greatness of Derrick Rose. When you compare and contrast, I'm not saying that, and I understand there's 1,000 people saying that.
Derrick Rose was a lot better in
2010.
Clearly, that Derrick Rose, that was MVP Derrick Rose. Clearly, that Derrick Rose is better than Kyrie Irving. The question is, this Derrick Rose.
I take this Derrick Rose. I know, everybody's yelling at me. I see it all the time.
He was our best player yesterday. He still put the team on his back. Kyrie, you're right. Kyrie is the second best player on the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yesterday, do you take yesterday's Derrick or yesterday's Kyrie?
Well, no question yesterday's Derrick. This series, Derrick.
Up until yesterday,
I think that it was questionable. But after yesterday's performance, mixing in everything that you've done this series, there's no question that Derrick has been better than Kyrie Irving because Kyrie Irving was terrible yesterday. He only had 11 points. 11 points, zero assists in 38 minutes. Zero assists in 38 minutes. It's unfreaking real. Derrick Rose in 39 minutes, seven assists. That right there is basketball right there. That is freaking bad. Got to the line 10 times. Derrick Rose has not gotten to the line this entire freaking series until yesterday. He gets the line 10 times.
It was awesome. It was a different officiated game. All right, man. I gotta go. I got to mow the lawn. I gotta watch Spike TV, Casino, and I gotta watch the kids. So there's like three things.
You gotta watch Spike TV.
Casino's on. One of the best movies of all time.
It's overrated. That's an overrated movie.
I'm gonna hang up right now. Come on, man.
The Scorsese movie is at least five. It's a great movie.
It's underrated.
That's his fifth. That's his fifth best movie at best.
It's miles better than 98% of the directors out there. Email us, follow me at CBE Fred. Email us at ChicagoBulls@gmail.com if you like Casino, yes or no. Is Mark nuts or am I nuts? What's better? I like Casino, Mark hates it.
Well, Freddie, God bless you. God bless Derrick Rose. God bless him. God bless his knees.
Amen.
I love you,
Happy
Derrick.
Mother's Day.
I love you, Derrick. It is so great to have you back. My God, if there's anybody that hits that shot yesterday, man, that's the guy that I wanted to hit it, and that was... I'm still in tears today. The first thing I did today when I woke up was I watched NBA TV and I started watching the replays of yesterday's game. Derrick. I love you, Derrick. I love you, Derrick. I don't want to say if it ain't Bulls, it ain't bad. If it ain't Derrick Rose, it ain't basketball.
All right. Sounds good. All right, my man. Happy Mother's Day, everyone. Bye.
Happy Mother's Day to everyone. God bless Derrick Rose. Hello, Bulls fans, and welcome to a second-round playoff edition of the Chicago Bullseye. I am your host, Mark Lewenthal. With me, as always, is the doctor, Fred Pfeiffer. Talk to me, Doc.
How you doing, Mark? What's going on, brother? How about a Game 1 and Game 2 contrast, huh? Isn't that a microcosm for the season that the team looks, you know, like just incredible in Game 1. Hey, that's a team that could challenge for an NBA title. And then they come out in Game 2 and just, you know, look – it's just the Bulls of 2014-15 in a nutshell, but games one and two.
Yeah, I mean, what else can you really say? I mean, it absolutely sums up the season. You know, I thought game one that we would win. I thought that we would come out strong. I've been pretty good on this team. Because this team is so inconsistent, there seems to be patterns. And I've been able to kind of call out these patterns. The Milwaukee game, I knew we would blow them out in game six. I didn't know we'd beat them by that much, but I knew we'd blow them out. Game one of this series, I'm like, I think we're going to win tonight. I think we're going to come out strong. Pressure's on us. I think we're going to win. Game two, I knew we were going to lose. I'm like, this team is inconsistent. The minute that they feel an ounce of comfort in a series, they fall apart. And you saw it. And the first quarter really defined everything the other day. As did, I think the first quarter kind of defined everything in game one as well, just in the opposite way. You know, we didn't, as bad as, you know, we looked, it really comes down to that first quarter. I mean, you may not know this, Fred, but we beat them in every quarter, 2, 3, and 4 in game two. It was just that first quarter where we were down by 20 points at the end of the quarter. We made a nice run to get back in the game. But the problem is when you're down by 20 points, you play different. You start playing a different game to try to get to try to get that the lead back, and we just couldn't do it. But you know, I do feel like, I mean, obviously I think that we can play with this team, but there were a lot of things in game two that concerned me, but there are things that I think can be overcome. What do you think?
I wasn't confident they would win. I thought it'd be 50-50. I didn't expect them to get the doors blown off like that. I don't think they were really that competitive at all. I know they went on that 14-0 run in the third to, you know, cut it to 11. But God almighty, how can you come out in a game like that and get punched in the mouth like that? It's just, it's unbelievable to me. And I think people are trying to, you know, on Twitter, you see all these people, you know, free Nico and Nico this, and, you know, putting all the pressure on the kid to be our savior. It just comes down to our best three players on offense, Gasol, Rose, and Jimmy. They just had a terrible game. I mean, Jimmy was 5 of 14, Gasol was 3 of 8, and Rose was 6 of 20. Those three guys shoot as bad as that, you're not going to win. You're not going to win most of those games, especially against a team, you know, with the best player on the planet in Cleveland in LeBron James. And he came out, on a mission. I was really, though, just overall kind of disappointed with, you know, those top three there. Because you can't shoot like that on offense. You can't come out and play like that. And then you had guys like Jones hitting threes, you know, that kind of stuff. Yvonne Shumpert also, you know, had a good game. I still believe the general strategy of keeping LeBron on the perimeter, forcing him to take outside jumpers, is the way to go, and making those other losers beat us. It worked in game one. Mike Miller fell flat on his face. You know, Shumpert's hurt now, probably not going to be 100%. I know they're going to get J.R. Smith back, but you just got to try to keep LeBron out of the paint, and you got to try to force, you know, those weaker guys to beat you. But most importantly, you need better games from your top three. Everybody's talking about Nico, free Nico, free Nico this. Nico's had a horrible playoffs. I hate to tell everybody this, but have you seen what he's shooting? I mean, it's not like it's a small sample size. He's had, I think, 34 shots. It's over 30 shots. He's shooting like 30, in the 30s and under 30% from three. For the season, he was 40-31. If he's not going to get to the free throw line, Nico is not going to win us anything. You know, so I don't think he's going to get calls. I've had this argument for the last month and a half, and I know I'm probably the only person on the planet who doesn't feel this, who doesn't feel that Nico can help us. You know, I think he could come out and I think he should be more time. I'm not trying to argue that. He should be playing 10, 15 minutes. But to expect us to win due to Nico Mirotić is misguided. It's wrong. It's just not going to happen in these playoffs. I think it's unfair to him. He's still a young kid. He's not used to the three-point line in the NBA. He's going to be a superstar in this league, and I think he's going to be great. And I'm not arguing that he doesn't deserve more time. But come on, man. He's not going to win this for us. The three guys that are going to win it are Gasol, Butler, and Rose. Those are the three basic guys that need. We need two out of those three to play well, because if they don't play well, we're going to lose more often than not.
Yeah, I mean, I can't agree with you more, Fred. Look, you tighten up your rotations in the playoffs, and now people could criticize the fact that Heinrich has been playing. You know, he's been taking the minutes that would have gone to Snell.
Snell. Snell
played 14 minutes in the last game. But the minutes that would have gone to Snell, and, you know, obviously Taj's minutes are – all of our bigs are playing more minutes at the expense of Nico. But, look, so far, so good as far as Heinrich goes. Heinrich has been playing pretty well the last two games. You can't complain. In the limited minutes that he's played fine. And who would you rather have on the floor? I mean, Nico has no experience in the playoffs. Our bigs have been playing well for the most part. Pau was not aggressive in the last game, only taking 8 shots. You're going to have a hard time winning if Pau Gasol is only taking 8 shots. But I'm not going to criticize. 29 minutes for Pau Gasol, 21 minutes for Taj. You know, Joakim was Joakim's the wild card. He's been the one that hasn't been as aggressive as we'd like to see. If you're going to be giving any minutes to Nico Mirotić, it would have to come at the expense of Joakim Noah. Again, two games this series. Again, he hasn't hit a single free throw shot, but he's only gone to the. He's only taken two attempts. But
he's one of 14
enough,
in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean,
no, he's one of 14 from the line in the playoffs. Is that what you said? I'm sorry, you cut out.
He's playing with very little confidence, but at the same time, Nico cannot defend players. We're going to be an extremely small team. That Powell can maybe play center, but Taj isn't really a center. Maybe against the Cavs, you might get away with it. But Nico's not really a great defender yet. Joakim's still going to give you a lot more on the defensive end. And if you ask me, game two, what was the problem? It was the defensive end. I mean, you were letting guys get to the basket at will. Our interior defense in game two was terrible. LeBron, you're right, pushed him to the outside. Well, that's not what we did. I mean, LeBron, I think, only took the first game he took 3 3-point attempts. The last game he took 2. So, I mean, they only took 22 three-point shots. I'm sorry, that was us. He took 2, yes. So they took 26 three-point shots as a team, which is only 4 more than we took. They knocked them down, but, our interior defense was terrible. We were letting guys get to the hoop at will. And at the beginning of the game, it wasn't the three that was killing us. It was absolutely the interior. Now, as the game went on, you were getting crazy three-pointers from James Jones and things like that. Look, James Jones was 0-for-2 in the first game. He was hitting them in the last game. I don't expect him to do that every night. But when we started to come back in the game, the thing that was bothering me is that we were playing a zone defense, and they were knocking down their threes. And it's like, why, when you've gotten it back down, I think we got it down to 11. Maybe we got it down to 9, but it definitely got it down to 11. And why are you still going to let a team, when you're getting them down to 11, you got to have that pressure on them and hope that they miss some shots so you can continue what you're doing. You don't want to give any open shots at that point. A strategy for the game, you can say push them outside and protect the paint. But as you're coming back into a game and you're down by a ton of points and you've actually come back into the game, the fact that we let them take three-pointers at will is just ridiculous, especially when James Jones started to hit them. I mean, he did hit 5 three-pointers. I mean, he got off 9 of them. I mean, Dellanova hit shot 5 of them. Shumpert had shot 7. Shumpert as a whole has been shocking the hell out of me with how good he's been playing without J.R. Smith out there, especially with the injury that he sustained in the last game. But you can't let players, when you're coming back into a game, take any wide-open shots, and we did that.
I disagree.
James around
the
rim, man, was ridiculous. James, he was giving him everything.
Couple points. Number one, I agree. Our defense at the rim and rim protection was terrible in game two. I thought it was pretty good in game one. But, and there's no doubt, Noah Gasol sucked as far as defending the rim game two. The fact of the matter is, though, the perimeter guys the perimeter defense has been terrible. It's been awful, too. These guys are driving almost uncontested. It seems like even in game one, how many times did Irving get a breakdown on the perimeter? Or it's not like it's just Gasol and Noah that are terrible. Overall, the perimeter defense has been terrible, too. So that's number one. Irving was very effective in game one. I thought the big guys defended pretty well. But you can only do so much if they're just – basically complete breakdown on the perimeter. So the defense overall, it's not she's not inside, it's overall. I still think if your goal as Cleveland is, hey, we're going to get Yvonne Chumper as many open three-pointers as possible, if that's the goal to win this series, well, good luck with that. I understand he's had 2 good games. I think it was 4-for-10 in the first game. He shot it again pretty well in last game. I want more of that. I want Yvonne Chumper shooting J's. That's fine with me. As long as you can kind of minimize LeBron into forcing him to shoot J's, that's our best strategy. I'm telling you, man. LeBron last game just got wherever he wanted, did whatever he wanted. Yeah, he was like a plus 31. No one was even close to him. You just can't win with your 3 best sucking and him playing that good. Let's talk a little bit about Noah. If I see this guy throw out of another 5-foot jump shot, throw a pass out of that, I'm going to lose my mind. I mean, I don't know what is going on here. It's like, I feel like I've been in bizarre world this entire season. Basically, you've had this guy go from an MVP candidate, defensive player of the year, to, it's hard for me to even describe his game. He's like, he's almost below average, I think now. I think he's almost below average. He's at best average. Because even the things that he did well, and everybody, every fan, from the church of Kevin Farragut blames all on Gasol. And it's like, dude,
oh God.
This guy has
watch
completely,
him.
this guy has completely deteriorated as an NBA player. And all I hear is it's Gasol's fault. What does freaking Gasol have to do with him shooting 1 of 14 from the free throw line in the series? What does it have to do with him refusing to shoot 5-foot jumpers? What does it have to do with him not contesting? The Bulls have been destroyed with this front court of Taj and Noah to start every goddamn second quarter for the past month. We've gotten our ass kicked. It's been like a layup line. Milwaukee, the worst combination, the two worst players in terms of plus-minus was Gasol and Taj. And that's all I've heard for the first 4 months is how Gasol needs to go to the bench and Taj needs to start. I am so freaking sick of it. Even today, I'm reading, oh, Gasol's a horrible fit. There was an article by Caleb, he's a good writer. I do respect him as a Bulls fan, very intelligent. But the whole gist of his article was a bash on the job that Gar Pax has done. And it starts out with him saying that the fit of Gasol has basically, you know, destroyed the team and that he wouldn't assign them. So I came back and said, all right, dude, who do you recommend? Instead of signing Paul Gasol, who do you want who would you have taken that $7 million and signed? And he goes, Bazemore and Anthony Morrow. And his whole point was basically that, his major critique was relying on two totally unproven bench players, and he's referring to Snell and McDermott, behind Jimmy and Dunleavy, it was wrong. And that was a huge criticism against Gar Pax. And instead of signing Gasol for the $7 million, yeah, Bazemore and Anthony Morrow. Are you freaking kidding me? I mean, honestly, Bazemore and Anthony Morrow, with the way we were, I think, 11-4 without Noah this year. Do we remotely have 50 wins if we don't have Gasol on this team? Are you serious? Are we really having this argument that you would rather take Gasol $7 million and sign two guys like Bazemore, Anthony Moore? I like Bazemore as a defender, but Christ, are you kidding? Is this really an argument? This is what this guy...
I mean, first of all, Fred, I mean, anybody that... I don't even want to... Just because somebody said it doesn't mean that it deserves any credence on our show. It doesn't mean that it deserves any attention in the real world. I mean, that's just a ridiculous comment to make. But if you want to say that Pau Gasol is the reason that Joakim Noah is, throughout his career, he averages about 9 attempts a game. This playoff series, he's averaging 4 a game. And so this entire playoffs, he's averaging only 6. He's shooting 43% in the playoffs this year, as opposed to he's a career 47% shooter. But the last couple years, he was the reason that his field goal percentage is so low is partially because of this year in 10-11. He was a 51% field goal shooter last year in the playoffs, somewhere in that 50 range. And this year he's in the low 40s. But his free throw attempts, man, first playoffs, he averages about 3 attempts a game. This playoffs, he's averaging 2. He's not even shooting 10%. So that's Pau Gasol's fault. The fact that people want to point it, and there are a lot of people that do this, whenever I have the discussion with anybody about what the issue with this team is, it's the fact that Pau Gasol is hindering Noah's ability to be the player that he is. And whoever says it is absolutely ridiculous. Why can we just not look at the black and white and say Noah just hasn't been good this year? Noah is a shell of the player that he was last year. I don't know what happened. He has no confidence in his shot. So, Fred, to that degree, I almost disagree with you. I don't want him shooting more because it's clear he has no confidence in his shot. So I don't want you to just start shooting the ball. This is not the time that you're going to start getting that confidence. During the season, he should have been more aggressive with the ball and got the confidence back. But you're not going to get the confidence back now in the Eastern Conference semis against the Cleveland Cavaliers. It just ain't going to happen. But in terms of making rotations where maybe you're not playing Noah as much and you're playing a guy like Nico who can get to the line and who's going to be effective from the line, I'm not necessarily against it because Taj has been consistent. Pau has been consistent throughout the playoffs. Didn't have a great game last game, but he's been very good throughout the whole season and the playoffs. If you're going to make rotations, you got to take those minutes away from Noah because Noah has been garbage. I don't know the problem is. He's shooting 10% from the line. A guy whose free throw percentage is over 70% career, shooting 10% from the line in the playoffs.
Let's not talk about Noah's offense. Let's talk about his defense, which is where everybody blames Gasol. You know, this narrative that, well, Gasol's now playing the rim protector role where Noah used to do that. And I'm just like, Noah was never an elite rim protector. the strength of Joakim Noah was the fact he could guard one through five. He could guard point guards, shooting guards, small forwards, power forwards. He could guard everybody on the freaking court. That's what he did best. He was never like a top five shot blocker or some guy who just absolutely destroyed. People were afraid to go after. No, his versatility as a defender is what made him great. And then suddenly the whole narrative has shifted like, oh, now he's forced to go out on the perimeter and guard with power forward. That's what he did well. That's what his strength was, that you could pick and roll with anyone on the freaking team, and Noah's there to pick him up. Oh, now he's on a point guard and he's stopping him. Now he's on LeBron and he's stopping him. It's not that he's sitting back in the paint and playing Gasol's role, which is basically I'm going to try to block shots and get rebounds. Come on, man. What the hell is going on with the collective fan base on this point? I understand, yeah, it's probably affected him somewhat negatively. It hasn't affected him to the point that he can't box guys out. He's not dominant anymore. And for God's sake, just look at the start of the second quarter when it's him and Taj out there. And Gasol's on the stinking bench, and watch how bad we've been for the last 40 days. It's been a disgrace on both ends, not just offense, on defense. I'm so sick of it. I've had it. I'm tired of the argument. I'm tired of people, you know, just blaming everything on Gasol and sticking up for Noah. I love Joakim Noah. I know he's a fan. Fantastic kid. I know he's the heart and soul of the team. He's a hard worker. All this stuff about him is great. He sucks right now as a basketball player. He's terrible. He's had a horrible – he had two decent games in games 5 and 6 against Milwaukee. He's been, in my opinion, terrible both of these games. Terrible in the first 4 against Milwaukee. We won in spite of him. Game 4, he was a minus 23. Gasol was a plus 18. Virtually every minute Joakim Noah was on that court, we were getting our ass kicked. So, you know, whatever. I don't even know what to say anymore. I know people are totally disagreeing with me. Screw you, Fred. You know, that's fine. All I can tell you is this. I am certain. I wish we had 3 games without Gasol this year. We were 1-2 in those games. They would shut up all these basement nerds in their stinking computers telling me how bad Gasol has been. Gasol, again, I think, is leading the team in PER. Oh, I know, that doesn't matter. That stat's been whatever. Shut up. Just shut up. The PER is still a good stat. He led the team in PER for the playoffs and the regular season. He's an all-star. He's one of the best centers in the league. And for once, can we appreciate him for what he is, Paul Gasol, and start looking at reality, which is the disintegration of Noah as a basketball player is what is hurting this team on the defensive end. End of story.
You're absolutely right. Well, and also, Fred, I feel like people are they're very unfair to Derrick Rose. I mean, if Derrick has a great game, everybody after game 1, Derrick's back. We've got it's the Derrick Kyrie Irving show. Look at how amazing he is. And then after game 2, everyone's crapping on Derrick. Derrick's game 2 was not that terrible. He did shoot extremely well. He was 6 for 20, but he didn't really take any bad shots. His 3-pointers, for the most part, were under control. I mean, he was 50% in the first game, so to go 2 for 5 in the second game, I mean, that's not terrible. I mean, that's not a bad 3-point percentage. I mean, there were a lot of great shots that he took that just did not go in. He still had 10 assists, and he either, and during that run, that 14-0 run, he either scored or assisted on every single play during that run. He was the only sign of life during most of this game. Butler has been captain consistent, but Butler has never taken over in this series at all. Rose has multiple times. How could we be crapping on Derrick Rose, who's playing? I mean, so he didn't shoot well, but you know what? LeBron didn't shoot well in the first game, and nobody was criticizing LeBron James because he's LeBron James. He shot almost as bad in the first game as Rose shot in the last game. He was 9 for 22. Rose was 6 for 20 in the last game.
Six for 20 is not good.
He did not have a great shooting night, Fred. He still had 10 assists.
He's not been good defensively, Irvin. Let's be honest. Butler did not have a good game. But, you know, Butler's also going against the greatest player on the planet. He's doing everything he can, and he's still playing a ridiculous amount of minutes, getting no rest. You know, Tibbs doesn't recognize fatigue because he never played in the NBA. So, you know, you're going to just run Butler in the ground against, you know, and expect him to produce on both ends. It's just not going to happen. It's going to take like
a few minutes. Can I throw something out there, though, Fred? Explain this. Rose played 37 minutes. Butler played 35. Rose in 37 minutes was a minus 13. Butler was a minus 26. That does show something with how poorly Butler was playing defensively.
He played a bad game. No doubt.
Rose had no problem carving up Jimmy Butler. I'm not going to sorry, James had no problem carving up Jimmy Butler. I mean, dude, Rose, of the starters, Rose's minus was, it was one of the best, especially considering the minutes that he played, that he was only a minus 13 in those 37 minutes. I'm not going to criticize Derrick Rose. He only had two turnovers last game. I just really picked it up, man.
Overall, I thought he had a great game offensively. I thought in game one, I thought he had a below-average game defensively because Irving just was the only guy who really, in my opinion, killed us in that game. But, you know, we won. A-plus overall. He was huge. He was fantastic. You know I love Derrick Rose, and I'll defend him to the death. I didn't think he played that good game, too. And I didn't think Butler did, and I didn't think Gasol did. They all, you know, and in criticizing Gasol, will you please stop complaining about the official calls? I mean, God, I do understand why people dislike that. It is irritating. But it's not just him. It's Taj. I mean, we got a team full of crybabies when it comes to these calls. It's unbelievable. Between him and Taj.
Except for Rose. Rose attacks every game. He doesn't get to the line once, and you don't see Rose complaining to the refs. And he hasn't gotten to the line once in this series. He's never complained to the refs. Yet it is so easy to crap on Derrick Rose when this is the best Bulls team we've had in forever. And Derrick has so far in this series maybe been the best player in this series. I mean, I'm going to fault Pau Gasol for only taking 8 shots in the last game. Pau Gasol has been very aggressive throughout most of the playoffs. You need Pau Gasol is a major mismatch against the Cleveland Cavaliers. He brings out the defenses. He's a player that you need to be that has to be aggressive. 8 field goal attempts is not acceptable.
No,
it's
completely – I blame that on Tibbs. Listen, all this freaking season we had to put up with this Noah Rose pick and roll. Noah can't do jack outside of 5 feet from the rim. So why the hell are you doing a pick and roll with Noah 20 feet out? I'd like to know. I had to put up with this all season. I've been saying, God, we run that play more than anything, and that's all we do. It seems like that's all we do. Never effective, literally effective. Probably our worst offense. We run it more than anything else. And finally, in game one, we do a little pick and roll with Rose and Gasol, which I've been clamoring for all stinking season, and it works great. We basically run away from it again. You know, I didn't think we did it nearly enough. Immediately we go down, and I don't think we ever got back to it. So, you know, I know the Cavs did some stuff to counter that. They're not going to let, you know, us just run amok anymore. Some other people have to stand up and, you know, make some plays. I don't know, though. Before the season, I thought we'd definitely beat this team. I lost a lot of faith in that last game. I just cannot believe how bad we came out in that game. So I still think the Bulls will win. I got it more like 55-45 now. You know, a lot depends on J.R. Smith. If that guy starts hitting threes and going nuts, it's going to be really hard.
Yeah, but you might not have Shumpert tonight. I know Shumpert's questionable. I don't know if he's playing or not.
They're just not as good defensively. I mean, offensively, we should be killing this team. That's how I feel. We should be able to get a lot of good shots. We should be able to get to the rim. You know, use Gasol. Why don't you change some stuff up? Why don't we bring out Nico a little bit more? I do agree he should be playing more. Instead, you know, and Heinrich, you're right. He hasn't played bad. He's 4-6, whatever, shooting the ball. That's what he should be shooting because nobody guards him. Yeah.
Well, but I also say, Fred, like you're saying, game one, I thought, was one of the most beautifully orchestrated offenses that we've seen all year from this team. Moving the ball, which I've been saying all year, you've got a lot of good offensive talent on this team. But you don't necessarily have that one guy like LeBron that you will trust in absolutely any situation to just take over, and you shouldn't. This team is good enough offensively where you got to be moving the ball. Now, we had 23 assists as a team in the first game. We had 20 in the second game. But 10 of those in the second game was from Derrick Rose. Every single one of our starters in the first game had at least 2 assists. Pau had 4. Jimmy, Noah had 4. Derrick had 5. And Butler had 6. In the second game, Noah had 4. Derrick had 10. Butler had 1. Dunleavy and Gasol didn't have any. You had off the bench in the first game. You had a much tighter lineup in the first game. Pretty much all of our bench played in the second game because we were getting blown out. But, you know, every player coming off the bench that played major minutes, Brooks didn't have an assist.
Oh, Brooks was horrible.
But they didn't play a lot.
Horrible.
But, yeah.
Brooks was
terrible. Mean, whereas Brooks
terrible
had 3.
In the series, and you need him to step up and make some shots. I mean, you know, you brought up a really good point, but I did love this. I listened to some of the game, and I watched it later. With Wennington. Wennington had a great comment in quarter three when the Bulls are just going, just killing this team on pick and pop with Rose, with Paul and Rose. They come out of a timeout the Cleveland calls a timeout, and what's the play the Bulls run? It's like a pass down to Taj in the post, and Weddington was like, took all one timeout for the Bulls to completely forget what was working every time down, because it led basically to a missed shot, and then, you know, the Cavs came back and scored. What a great point. How do you score virtually every timeout, come out of a timeout, and completely deviate from what was working, you know, for you for the last 5 minutes? It was a great comment. And, you know, I want the Bulls to just come out and do what they do best, which is pick and pop with Rose and Gasol. I don't mind throwing it down low every once in a while to Taj in the second quarter, but just do what's working, you know, and they just deviated from it. Let's just do what's working. Hey, man, I got to run.
All right, Fred. Well, hopefully tonight, real fast, what do the Bulls need to do tonight?
Bulls have to come out with just manic energy, just playing insanely hard. And not, to me, it just looked like they were, we got one, you know, a little bit satisfied. I know that's not what they were thinking, but they definitely weren't able to match the energy. You need to just come out and play insanely hard, and that's Butler and Rose and Gasol need to really come out and hit shots in Q1. And I think it's going to be a very close game tonight. If the Bulls lose this game, I think they're they'll probably lose the series.
Oh, for
but
sure.
If they win, I think I still stick to my, you know, I think this is a very, very important game. So
you got to take care of business at home. And, I mean, we had the advantage in the last two games of J.R. Smith not playing. He's going to be back tonight. But you did take one on the road, but that only means something if you take your two games at home. You know, next, I would like to talk, I mean, there've been a lot of interesting things. I mean, over the news, the story after game two with that video that they showed on the scoreboards with the guy chucking the girl across the room who was a Bulls fan. And then the story after game one with Wojnarowski writing that article about Tom Thibodeau. I mean, you've had a lot of drama surrounding this series after those two games. And that's something that I'd like to, talk about on the next show a little bit of this drama. I mean, this Thibodeau stuff is
really quick, but yeah, we'll get into Thibodeau in the next one because that'll still be there. I did see the commercial that you're talking about, what they showed. How stupid can a group be? Cleveland is literally the toilet of America. It is the toilet of America. It is such a joke organization. I mean, to think that they thought that was remotely appropriate and fun, it's not even remotely funny. It was so dumb and amateur. It just shows the city sucks. Their team sucks. Cleveland is the toilet of America. And all the heat that they take for that dumb move is deserved. Anybody doesn't know.
Ridiculous. Did you see that before the game they were going to be giving away Kevin Love arm slings, and then they called it off right before the game, so they have 22,000 arm slings that are sitting around? I mean, I know that you're doing it in good humor, but it just seems like it's a bad taste. Kevin Love arm slings? And then you see this, where not only does the guy chuck the girl across the room, but then afterwards she's got an ice pack on her head, and she says that she's all in now for the Cavs. Well, why are you all in? Because your boyfriend just beat you up. That's why you're in. So not only does he beat her up, but then you see her succumb to being a Bulls fan because he beat her up. It was the dumbest video I've ever seen.
We should probably explain it. So anybody who's seen Dirty Dancing, you've seen Dirty Dancing, the scene at the end where the girl jumps off.
They were copying actually a commercial, which was copying Dirty Dancing, but they were actually copying that commercial
for the healthcare.
The healthcare.
For a healthcare commercial where the girl jumped up, tried to replay Dirty Dancing. She weighs about 1,000 pounds and collapses on the table, you know, funny laugh, you know, now you need health insurance. Then the Cavs try to parody that by the girl's wearing a Bulls. The girl is like a Bulls fan. She's got a Bulls jersey on. She runs to this guy, jumps up for him to, you know, pick her up over his head and spin her like it's Dirty Dancing. Instead, he throws her. And this loser.
And then you see her twitching on the ground, by the way. They show her twitching on the ground in pain. And then the next scene is the two of them on the couch. The girl is now wearing a Cavs jersey with an ice pack on her head. And he goes, "Are you all in?" And she goes, "I'm all in now," because that's their slogan for the playoffs.
If you are a Bulls fan listening to this podcast in Cleveland, you need to move immediately. You need to get out of that toilet city and realize, I'm telling you, you can go anywhere, north, south, east, west. Just get in the car, drive. Eventually you'll run into something better than Cleveland. Probably within a good about 30 minutes. The city's a toilet in general. It's just a disgrace, an absolute disgrace. And good job, Cleveland marketing team. Good job. You guys are top notch. So you
and apparently, actually, the like Cavs marketing, the head of marketing that was behind this was the woman in the video that got thrown. So, I mean, whatever. You could say hopefully she gets fired, but it's like this went through multiple. There is no way that the head of marketing made this video. Nobody else saw it. Nobody else was like, hey, that might not be a good idea. That might not be a good idea. When people first started talking about it, I hadn't seen the video, but I was like, are we just making something out of nothing? And then I saw it, and I'm like, this is ridiculous. Not only did he throw her, but then she succumbs to becoming a Cavs fan because she was in so much pain. I mean, it was just the most ridiculous thing ever. There's no – whoever was in the string of people who let this go needs to get canned. But, I mean, at the same time, we need to beat the Cleveland Cavaliers. So, I mean, at the end of the day, I don't care about this video if we lose, but it was ridiculous. But anyways, Fred, as always, good times. I know you need to go. So until next time, if it ain't Bulls.
It ain't basketball. Have a good one, brother.
Good times. You too. Peace.